Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we've got a really special podcast coming up here today. We're going to speak with the winner of Survivor Worlds Apart, Mike Holloway, who's coming by here in the studio to talk about his path to victory in Survivor 30. So I'm very excited about this. I don't want to break for a commercial in the episode, so let me just get this out of the way here because I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, our friends over at Stamps.com. They're a new sponsor on the podcast. Really excited to have Stamps.com on board because I am all about Stamps.com because I don't want to go anywhere. I like staying in my house and I like doing a podcast here. And one of the perks about doing a podcast is that I'm in my pajamas most of the day. Sometimes I take a shower around like 5 o'clock and ready to do these live shows that I do. But I don't want to go out and get dressed and go places. And that's why Stamps.com is perfect for me because I can print real U.S. postage here in my office without having to go anywhere. They give you a scale. You can put your letters on there and print postage right on your printer. It's absolutely fantastic. So anything you could do at the post office, you can do right from your desk with Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer or printer. And you don't have to go to the post office. And then if there's a disgruntled Dan Foley there that's mad about things you said on the podcast, you don't have to get yelled at by Dan. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes, so you can get postage whenever you need it 24/7. So right now, use our promo code RHAP for a special offer. You get a no-risk free trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes that digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on that microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RHAP, that's stamps.com, and enter RHAP for that free $110 bonus offer when you sign up. Okay. And I hope you guys aren't freaking out too much about the lack of Survivor content over the off season because we've got you covered. The evolution of strategy is here. Volume 2 just dropped on Friday. Josh Wigler and I will be putting out one chapter a week every Friday all summer long of Evolution of Strategy. You could hear the first chapter of the Evolution of Strategy, Volume 2, that's Guatemala. You can hear that 8-hour plus chapter completely for free if you go to robinswebsite.com/free11. Use the discount code SCUMBAGS. When you check out, you will get that completely for free. And that is our gift to you if you want to try out a chapter of the Evolution of Strategy. And of course, the first chapter is always free when you go to evolutionofstrategy.com. All right, here we go. Mike Holloway coming up. Hope you enjoy the interview. Coming to you live
from Rob's apartment.
It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the blue-collar podcaster, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Rob's Podcast. Because here with me is your reigning Survivor champion, the blue-collar sensation. Here he is, Mike Holloway. How are you, Mike?
Doing good, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a nickname?
Back home, they call me Big Mike.
Big Mike.
Yeah, I mean, but Mike, I'm good with Mike. Just don't call me late for dinner, Rob.
Okay, I won't call you late for dinner. I feel like you need a Survivor nickname. That's really, like, I mean, I'm no Philip Shepherd or anything, so I'm not going to dole out a nickname, but I feel like maybe, like, the people in the comments could help us come up with what is Mike's nickname.
Hey, I'm all up for nicknames. The people that are closest to me in my life, they all have nicknames. I don't call them by their names. So, you know, that would be an endearing thing for sure.
You know, we always talk about on the podcast Survivor Robs versus Johns and who's first Survivor John, but are you the ultimate Survivor Mike at this point?
I mean, I would have to say that I'm the only.
Is Mike scooping?
I mean, I'm the only
one. Here's the list of Survivor Mikes, okay? And let's just take a look at this.
All right.
All right. Of course, Mike Holloway, Mike Scoopin, Mike Chisel, you know?
Older guy.
Mike Barassi. Who's an older guy? Mike Chisel?
Well.
Mike Barassi.
Mike Chisel, hard like a hammer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mike Barassi.
Okay.
Then you have Mikey B.
Mikey B.
and then you can get into some of the Michaels. You have, of course, Michael Snow.
Oh, wow. And that's a name I haven't thought of in a long time.
Michael Jefferson. So I think you are, at this point, the definitive Survivor mic. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry,
thank
Mike Scoopin.
Scoopin, we'll talk later, bud.
Sorry, Mike Scoopin.
Hey, I would like to say about, you know, you do the podcast, the Knowingness Know-It-Alls.
Yes.
I think that there should be a person in your podcast up for that award. And that being Nicole with the winner pick this season.
Yes, Nicole, congratulations to Nicole. She got it. She got it right where I got it wrong.
Brought her a T-shirt.
Okay.
I don't know if she'll wear it or not. I know the viewers can't see it, but it's one of our T-shirts.
The shirt that you wore, or it's not the, is it the shirt
it's
that
not
you wore?
The shirt,
okay, that should be on eBay. It is the same design for Nicole for picking the
winner chicken dinner.
Yes. So good job by Nicole.
Way to go, Nicole.
I had Shireen, and then it was actually funny that you guys ended up working together.
Yes.
So, you know, that was a odd way to see it. But Nicole, believe it or not, this is the third Survivor winner Nicole has predicted in 11 seasons.
That's pretty impressive, especially going off of the limited information that she has versus the amount of information that you guys have.
She's like the person that in like everybody's like March Madness pool. That's like the secretary. That's just like, oh yeah, give me this team and this team and this team. And then she walks away with it where I'm like studying everything. And I'm like, okay, well, I know from Survivor history. Bop, 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 bop. Yeah.
We do the same thing in a football pick thing that we've been doing for like 12 years. And it's really funny because the girls finish really high because they're like, okay, well, the blue team and the red team are playing today. And I like blue better than I like red. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh. How
and you do too.
I love blue. I'm blue.
Blue. All right. So, Mike, we're going to talk about everything from your Survivor game and everything in between. Really excited that you came here to talk about this. I know you're a big fan of the show.
Big fan of RHAP.
Well, I was talking about Survivor, but that where Max and Shireen, they were the super fans. And I think a lot of people don't know. You probably know, if not as much as those guys, you know, not...
No, yeah. Well, I mean, those guys can tell you, you know, certain challenges and the obscure names of certain survivors. I've watched every episode, every season 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatched all 29 seasons in between the time that we got home and to the season starting, our season starting.
Mm-hmm.
I love Survivor. I love the gameplay. I love the strategy. I love the nuances that people that have never played the game don't understand with the hunger and the letdown. You can say this, the letdown of adrenaline as soon as the challenge is over, because you're so hyped up and you got all that adrenaline running through you, and then the challenge is over and it's like, oh
yeah,
you know,
speak for yourself. I'm like, oh good, the challenge is over. But one of the first things that I, you know, noticed about you, and you know, we became friends on Facebook around the time of the start of the season.
Yeah.
Was that you were like posting on Facebook, like, "Hey, just got 2 more DVD box sets of these seasons." I'm like, "Wow, this guy is really into it."
Oh man, those were the last 3 that I got in the mail, and I was so excited about it because it was like, okay, I've got this goal, you know, because Jeff actually at the beginning of the season or somewhere in the middle of the season tweeted out, hey, you know, rewatch all the seasons or whatever. And I was in the middle of doing it. And like the day I finished it, I tweeted to Jeff and CBS. I was like, I just got done watching all of them, you know, or rewatching all of them, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. I am a Survivor geek, man.
And you started watching the show, and you watched it all the way through. Did you have a break?
No. Every single season, man.
Wow.
Watch it, love it. You know, I started watching it season 1. Was impressed, but it was just kind of like, oh man, there's this big gay guy on there, and he's naked all the time. Like, what is going on with this show? Which, by the way, Richard, great game. Love Richard Hatch's game. And Then season 2 comes around, and you got this young stud on there that brings this huge Texas flag, which, by the way, my luxury item that I brought on Survivor was a huge Texas flag as well. But they didn't end up giving them to us.
And Colby said, every day I wake up and I thank God for 2 things. Number 1, that I'm alive. And number 2, that I'm a Texan.
And you know what? I agree. Number 2, that I'm a Texan.
And the prophecy of Mike Holloway was born in that instant, right? After the Super Bowl that night, you see this guy with a Texas flag and say, I'm going to get on that show?
I mean, that was probably the cattle prod, the kid to bring it back to Texas. Yeah. That really got the fire underneath me about the loving this game, like really, really loving this game. And for about 10 years, I was making Survivor videos and just never sent one in.
Okay.
It just wasn't the right time. I wasn't in the right place financially. I was working, you know, in the oil and gas industry and just trying to get my life established. And then whenever, you know, we had a contestant that, you know, quit, it really, really lit a fire underneath me. And
so there was one person that quit and then it lit a fire on you to make the videos again or to send them in?
This guy actually quit twice, or we are led to believe that he quit
twice.
Okay,
so you're saying that Colton, when he quit on Blood versus Water, that made you say, I got to send my tape in.
I almost threw my remote control through the TV screen whenever it happened. Yeah. And I was just like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
This guy's got a chance to play this game not only once, but twice. And my best friend was sitting there and he was like, well, what are you going to do about it? And I was like, we're going to go make a video. We're going to, you know, it's really funny. I made this statement to my best friend. I said, if we make a video, they're going to watch it. If they watch it, they're going to call me. If they call me, I'm going to go to LA. And if I go to LA, I'm going to get on the show. And if I get on the show, I'm going to win it. And I made that statement to my best friend. And he actually reminded me of that statement Wednesday night.
And so will you be giving Colton a portion of your Survivor winnings?
No, but you know, Colton, I've heard all the nice things that you've said about me over the season, and thank you.
He's been complimentary.
Towards the end, I saw some tweets that he had posted, and they were definitely complimentary. So thank you for that, Colton.
That's really wild. That something that didn't even happen, you know, or is going on in the season. That's four seasons ago, before you're even in the mix for Survivor, ends up leading to where we are at this point with you winning Season 30 of Survivor. That's crazy.
It was the catalyst, if you will. Colton, you're a catalyst.
Colton the catalyst.
Colton the catalyst.
So Colton quitting Blood versus Water led to you winning the game. Crazy.
I
didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, that's a funny story, I guess.
That's pretty wild. All right, so just take us through the last couple of days from you go to the finale on Wednesday night. You felt like you had it pretty much locked up. Could you just any good stories or anything from Wednesday night that you could share?
Oh man, it was so crazy. I'll tell you this: leaving the game, I really, really, really felt like I won the game. And actually, October 1st, I have a journal entry where I go through in my journal and I name every single one of the jury members and who they voted for. Mm-hmm. And then I gave a preface of like how the live finale was going to go. First, Jeff's going to read me. Then he's going to read Will. Then he's going to read Carolyn. And then he's going to read me. And I wrote all this down in my journal.
Yeah. Are you a big journaler?
Important things I journal. Important days I journal. I don't journal every day. So wrote all that down. And then, you know, that was October 1st. You know, left it alone. Didn't do anything with it. And sure enough, man, it played out just like I wrote it in my journal. And no one had told me. None of the cast, to their credit, told me who they voted for, what was going on. It's just you live with these people for 39 days, and mm-hmm. you know what motivates them. You know what they respect. You know what they dislike. And so I thought, walking out of that tribal council, I pretty much felt like I won. Yeah. So, it's been like 7 months of keeping a secret. And, you know, my best friends and family, all the people that were at the live reunion show, the only person there that knew that I won was my mom. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was completely in the dark. Yeah. So yeah, that was a neat experience.
Okay. So you go to the finale on Wednesday and how early did they get you there?
Oh man, we showed up at like 10 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And you know,
everybody's hungover.
There were some people that were definitely hungover. I had been the night before we went out to this little party mm-hmm. and apparently I was screaming the whole night because the next day I woke up and I had worse of a voice than this was. You guys heard me.
Yeah.
So we get there and the buzz and the excitement of being there and CBS and they get you to your rooms we're like, do we stay in these rooms? Like what? So we all just kind of started congregating in different rooms because, you know, the Dirty 30, we really are close. So, I mean, mm-hmm. there would be like 10 of us in like this one little small back set room of CBS hanging out.
And, you know, it's I got so many different ways I want to go with this. But with the Dirty 30, like, I know you guys are all close, but there's also like this rift between, you know, Shireen with Will and I guess with Dan. I'm not really sure about, you know, how separated they are. Is it just like they just don't talk to each other, or it's like, okay, well, let me hang out with these guys over here. Let me go ahead and then I'll go hang out with these guys, because you're good with everybody, right?
I feel like I'm good with everybody.
Yeah.
I feel like I really have developed, you know, 17 relationships out of this, and I hope to continue them. But yeah, they don't really talk right now. It's a
but
process.
It's not uncomfortable when they're in the room.
Okay. No. I mean, that's the great thing about our season, our cast, is that we're all adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, we can all be in the same room and be amicable and not, you know, have the backbiting and the fight. There's no, but you know, there's nobody in a bathroom getting their head flushed in a toilet.
Those swirlies.
Yeah. So we
good to know.
Yeah, we are really a dysfunctional family. But, you know, we are still a family.
Okay. So Wednesday, there's all this stuff going on with you guys, but there's also all the second chance people. That are around. So is there...
Go Shireen, go Joe.
Is there commingling between the second chance people and the Survivor 30 people, or do they just keep you guys separate?
Well, yeah, no, they kept us very, very...
During the day.
Very much separate. We would see, you know, in the hallway passing, you know, like one or two of the second chancers, or they'd see us or something, you know. And
could you say hi to them, or they were like, no, hey...
Oh no! They were very, very, very much on keeping us separated. You know,
and then
we got a little bit of no collar in us, so we would break the rules a little bit. You know?
Right. So did they keep like and you yourself? I mean, it was part of that mix, though you had to have known that you, unless everything went wrong, you were not going to be in the mix for the second chance. So did they have the Survivor 30 people with Survivor 30 cast, or were you guys with the second chance people?
No, we were in completely separate rooms.
Everybody was in. Okay, so which
the Dirty 30 were in one green room,
and you were there with the Survivor 30 people.
Yes, with my cast, and then the second chances were in another green room, just down the hall from us.
Did you feel like that was a disadvantage for the people that were going to ultimately be in the second chance people to be sort of segregated through that whole experience?
No, I the one person that I feel like that really, really, really got kind of not done the greatest in this whole process was Carolyn.
Yeah, you know, you're mad about this.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm happy about it for sure, because, you know, we had called CBS, Carolyn and I, and said, hey, we need to be able to be on the same level footing ground as these other people that are getting to do these podcasts and put their story out there. And what CBS had told us was, you know, well, you guys are the most recent season. You know, you're going to be remembered. Y'all are going to be, you know, probably, they didn't give us a guarantee, nothing like that. Don't get that twisted. Yeah. But they said probably by the popular vote, you two are going to make it regardless. So you don't need to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn and I both, you know, just kind of felt like that our hands got tied a little bit. And maybe that would have been the nudge. Maybe it wouldn't have been the nudge to get her on the show. But in the fairness of the game, it just seemed like we could have come on and done the podcast, but not talked about the game that was going on, but about what we wanted to do the next time.
Now, just going back to you for a second, you were confident that you were going to win. Were you 150,000%
confident?
Okay,
let's just get this straight. It's 155,000%
confident, because, like, let's just say hypothetically, so you didn't even, you weren't even packed for Survivor 31 or anything like that.
I went through all the pregame, sent all the clothes in, everything that you know, that you have to do in order to go on.
So
the show.
What would happen? Worst case scenario, hypothetically, Carolyn ends up pulling it out.
Yeah.
Were you prepared to go? I mean, would you have been and you got voted in for Survivor Second Chance?
I trip on the stage, slam my head on the thing, and Shane Powers gets to go instead.
But you would not have gone?
Well, I signed the contract.
Yes.
So
you would have been, I mean, you'd be out, you'd be on your way there right now.
I'd be hopefully in pregame right now.
And like, that's just so crazy to me, because like, you are very confident, but it's like, so was that ever a concern? Like, oh my God, what if I don't win?
No, you know, there was a middle part of the game or in between when we left and when the show started airing that I really questioned it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, oh man, did I win? Did I win? And, but then, you know, once the edit, once I started watching it and once I started, you know, I mean, the biggest thing for me, the biggest clue in for me, really and truly, that confirmed it for me was that they left in the edit when the night Lindsay went home.
Yeah.
That, you know, it has been said before that a blue collar will win this game, you know, and yeah.
They put it in there twice. It was in the first episode and then they're there again.
Right.
Prophecy of Lindsay.
Right. The prophecy of Lindsay. So, and thank you, Lindsay. You fired me up with that, by the way.
Is Lindsay a witch? How did she know that?
I mean, no, she's not a witch. Okay. She might consort with, you know, God.
Does she talk to witches?
No. Lindsay is, one of the most, misunderstood and delightful people of our whole cast.
Yeah. I got to say hi to her real quick on Wednesday night.
And she's pregnant. Congratulations, Lindsay. Yes.
Congratulations.
And Ryan. What's up?
And Ryan.
He's a good-looking guy, that guy.
I didn't see him. Ryan Aiken?
No.
Okay. Different Ryan.
Yeah, different Ryan.
Skinny Ryan?
No, he's actually really, really, like, dude, he's got some, his arms are probably bigger than yours and mine torso.
Wow.
Dude, he's huge, this guy.
Wow. Okay, good for Ryan. Good for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Then we go to the reunion show and everything. Yeah. And I know just from talking to different people, the Survivor 30 cast was not thrilled with the reunion show. And most Survivor casts end up not thrilled with the reunion show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, we felt that a lot of our season was overshadowed with, you know, personal drama. And that the strategy did not get really a four light, or the game didn't get told the way that we wanted it to be told, which, you know, that's the contract that we signed in the beginning, that like, CBS, they have all the rights to show whatever it is that they want. But yeah, going into the live reunion show, I think, or coming out of the live reunion show, I think there, you know, a lot of people on our cast were really, really disappointed. You know, that more people didn't get time, you know, but yeah, you know, CBS has got this, second chance is coming up. Really excited about that. We got a new season and I mean, it's an event, inedible. Whoa. Whoa, are we eating edibles? I might be the way I'm talking, that it's out with the old and in with the new.
Yeah.
And that happens every season.
Well, you know what? In the San Juan del Sur finale, if you would have talked to them, they said like, oh, well, they spent the last 15 minutes of our finale hyping up Survivor 30. And I wonder if that's going to be a thing now where maybe not with Survivor 31, because it's all these all-stars coming back to play. But I wonder if the end of each reunion show will start to be more about, instead of just like, okay, here's where we're going next season, a little bit more of hyping up.
I hope not. I hope that CBS and everybody give the whole cast the appropriate time, because it's not just about getting to the end or to what's going on next. You know, the finale for a lot of people is closure.
Yeah.
Closure that this game's done, that they're moving on with their life, that something else is happening. And whenever you don't feel like that you got that closure, I think that's what you're seeing within, you know, within our cast, that no one really feels like that it's over.
Yeah.
That they got closure out of it. You know, I'm pretty good with it. Obviously, I have a different standpoint.
Yes.
From 17 other people on our cast. Mm-hmm. But,
and we could do an hour right now just talking about stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
From the reunion show. Real quick, though, before we start to dig into more of the Survivor 30 actual game.
Yeah.
I spoke briefly with Dan. He was very upset about everything that went down. Were you upset that they spent so much time on the Dan thing?
I was upset with that whole process, that it really seemed like Dan, you know, kind of apologized. Dan did go out on his own and went to the media, you know, previous to this. So, you know, I feel like that it was an issue that Jeff and them had to deal with. Maybe they didn't have to deal with it, but it was an issue that they wanted to deal with. And it took some time away from other people that possibly, you know, had a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Lindsay being pregnant, you know, I mean, nobody even knew that.
Cause Lindsay, I feel like, you know, all right, Dan was unhappy with his edit or whatever, but I feel like for the 10 million people that were watching the show, 9.7 million of those people like had no idea Dan was unhappy with his edit. Yeah. I feel like we were really talking about something that very few people even knew about, and we really like ended up spending more time talking about Dan and the edit more so than Dan and what he actually said.
We spent more time
talking about the, you know, Dan speaking out about the edit.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to, you know, why that was done that way. I can speak to the fact that I know that Dan is really, really hurt still, over the whole issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had, multiple conversations, and I don't think this is going to be a wound that goes away for him for a while.
Right.
But I hope that CBS or whatever, you know, can realize that, and maybe they'll reach out to him afterwards and talk or whatever. But, yeah, it's a tough, really, really, really tough on Dan. Not saying that some of it wasn't warranted. But, you know, I really felt like he came into the finale, you know, contrite and really did want to apologize. But
yeah. What are you going to do?
I mean, it's such a tough subject to speak on because, you know, I know Dan and I love Dan and, you know, we have a great relationship and you want to stand up for somebody, for sure. When you feel like they're getting a raw deal, but at the same time, you can't make people say certain things.
Yeah. He made this bed as uncomfortable as it is now that has there's all of this stuff, which is, you know, now followed him.
I think he got the pillow and other people helped him make the bed. They certainly didn't help him not make the bed.
All right.
Can we say that?
Yes. Yes. Good. All right. So let's go back and then let's start with your journey. And I'd like to just sort of like take a walk through your game and maybe highlight some of the things that were sort of the bigger points in the game and things that, you know, you could shed some light on because, you know, in the 15 minutes that we had the other day, we could only really scratch the surface.
For sure.
So you guys go out there for Survivor Worlds Apart. No collar, blue collar, white collar. When you first find out this is what the season is, you have to be thrilled, right?
Oh, man, completely thrilled because really at my nature, I am blue collar.
Yes.
And so it was just like putting on a badge, almost like slapping on that Texas badge on the side of my, you know, on my shirt. Yeah, definitely blue collar.
And once you guys get out there, you guys are, you know, broken up into your tribes. And the first thing you guys do when you guys go back is you're part of this decision of deceive or what was the other one called?
Honesty.
Honesty or deceive of what are you going to do to get the clue to the hidden immunity idol, which you're ultimately going to find. And just correct this. The idol that you find later in the game is the original, is that same blue collar idol that you could have had the clue for on day one, right?
Absolutely. Same idol. Yes.
Yes. And no new idol was ever hidden.
There was only three idols that were ever placed out in the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So you guys decide to be honest there. Was there ever any inclination on your part, you and Dan, to get the clue to the idol?
Not so much on Dan's part. But, you know, I did kind of, you know, like test the waters with Dan to see if, you know, we wanted to take the big bag or the small bag. Ultimately, I really don't think I would have went through with taking the small bag and the clue just because food in the game of Survivor is so huge. And those beans, man, they were so good. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Best beans in the world.
Wow.
Magic beans.
Better than the scorpion.
Oh, the scorpion was delicious, but yeah, the beans were more nutritious.
Now, I think that's also in the first episode, you decide to eat this scorpion. Yeah. What possessed you to eat a scorpion? Were you just that hungry?
Well, you know, like we actually got up at like 2:30 a.m. and ate breakfast at 2:30. And so when I ate that scorpion, it was about 1 in the afternoon. And I mean, that's the first day and hadn't had anything to eat.
Yeah.
Like, I legitimately was hungry. I mean, some people have said, oh, you did it for camera time or whatever. You know, I'm from Texas. I will literally eat anything. You know what I mean? Especially if I'm hungry. So, you know, I had never had a scorpion before. And by the way, future Survivor contestants, if you do decide to eat a scorpion, please boil it first so you don't get sick for 5 hours.
Yes, that's what it was. It wasn't a boiled scorpion, or is it like you didn't take you took part of it off, right?
Yeah, I took part of the tail off, didn't get the whole tail. But since then, I've done some research.
You need to boil it.
That if I ever eat a scorpion again, I'm going to boil it and dip it in chocolate. And then go for it. Chocolate covered scorpions. So if you're out there listening and you want to send me some chocolates covered scorpions. Okay.
Now, when you guys come back with your honest box or whatever, your honest bag of stuff, there is some thought from Sierra and Lindsay that you guys actually lied. They said, look how small this is. They definitely lied.
Well, you know, walking back into that, I'm kind of a jokester. I'm not the funniest on podcasts or whatever, but in real life, I like to, you know, just play jokes or mess with people a little bit. Yeah. So we walked back into camp and we're telling them, and I was like, oh yeah, we took the deceit for sure. You know, thinking that like, you know, this is a, cause I saw the small bag.
Yeah.
So, you know, my perception is there's no way they're not going to think this is the big bag of beans, you know? Yeah. And, sure enough, that was another mistake that Mike made in the game. Yeah. Just keep your mouth shut. Like what did Shireen say to Tyler when she voted him out? Just sit there and look pretty.
Yeah. Sit there and look pretty.
Yeah. I probably should have just sat there and looked pretty in that instance.
How much was the way that Survivor Kagiyan started in people's minds? Because it's a similar thing where, you know, you have Morgan and Garrett and Trish who have a similar decision. Mm-hmm. And so it was that just very much in everybody's head?
Well, maybe in like four or five, six of us that, you know, really, really, really are crazy fans. We knew about it. I was really, really, really excited when we got there on our mats and it was the three tribe format. That's personally my favorite format for Survivor because you can switch it up in so many different ways.
It's my least favorite.
Is it really?
I like it as a TV viewer. In practice, I didn't find it to be that great.
Okay.
But in watching the show, it's fun.
Well, you've also played more times than I have. So, you know, you have a better reference there of how that goes. I really, really, really liked it. Honestly, you could say that this was pretty much brains versus beauty versus brawn too.
Yeah.
You know, with the blue collar, it was just a different spin. But I really liked it because I think instead of the brains, brawn, and beauty as an identifier, we had collars to identify us with that we've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did have a little bit of blue collar in you, you know, it did make your heart like rise up and get excited about it for sure. So no, I like the format. But that wasn't the question that you asked.
Yeah. Well, in playing with this group, it seemed like early on, it looked like the women were really tight. And, you know, again, we talked about it at the time where, you know, we're only seeing about like 10 minutes of 10 days in those first couple of weeks. And the couple of scenes that we saw was a lot of you fighting with different people. Now, I get the sense that it was probably mostly harmonious for you and that group, but there were a couple of times about you were fighting with Rodney, fighting with Lindsay, fighting, you know, about work ethic and stuff like that. How much was that a fair representation of what was going on in those first couple of weeks on the show? From the TV perspective.
Right. The fighting aspect was probably way, way more overplayed than it truly was. Here's the crazy thing is we would have like probably at least one, maybe even two blowups a day that would last 15 minutes total, you know, and it wasn't like a 15 minute battle. It would just be like the anger would be there for 15 minutes. But then, you know, what they didn't show is we're out in the ocean, you know, like we had a little surfboard that we made too, and we're out there surfing and jumping
skinny
off.
Skinny dipping?
Well, Dan skinny dipped obviously lost his mantis. But
did he actually lose his
mantis? He actually lost his mantis.
Because Tyler tweeted.
It was a dirty 30 joke.
It was a dirty 30 joke.
Dirty 30 joke. Okay. Yeah. So, you know,
Dirty 30, such jokesters.
We like to play around, you know, I mean, we took this experience knowing really and truly, I think every one of us knew that this was 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to troll. We're going to play. We're going to live this experience. Cause you know, like today, really it's gone. Season 30 is over. It's done.
You're here. It's not over.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, but the gameplay, the every Wednesday, the leading up to it, you know, and we all went into this experience saying we're going to have the most fun with this possible. And if we come out looking like, you know, media, whatever it was that Dan called Rodney's mom, then we'll, you know, we'll.
Your mother is a media whore.
Your mother is a media whore. No. We just had fun with it, really and truly. But back to the camp life. We would fight, but it was like it really and truly was a family. Like if you if one of the no callers or the white callers was to say something about Lindsay, I would have came across the mat and be like, yo, you can't say that. That's my girl. But me and Lindsay can fight and then we can make up. So, you know, the actual portrayal though of me freaking out about getting firewood and water and stuff like that, that was a pretty accurate portrayal up until about day 10. Kelly and I, who's number one alliance in the game, love Kelly Remington.
And she's like a forgotten person in terms of like, as we watch this all play out, but to you, that was your, right hand person.
Instrumental in my win. I know she went out way, way early, but instrumental, but she pulled me aside, you know, I think it was right around day 10. And she goes, let me just give you a little bit of backstory real quick with me and Kelly. Kelly and I would wake up every single morning. We'd be the first ones up. And we would go talk strategy for like 30 minutes in the morning. And then
a dirty 30 minute.
And so then we wouldn't speak pretty much the rest of the day. Like she would go hang out with the girls. I would go hang out with the guys. And we would come back at the end of the night, compare notes. So she pulls me aside on like day 10. And it's like, Mike, you got to stop this. Like you're alienating people because you want everybody to work so hard. I know that the work's not getting done, but you got to relax, bro.
Yeah, you got to relax, bro.
You got to relax, bro.
And so, you know, it really hit me. And she goes, you have to do everything that you can do in order to get yourself to the merge. And I said, you know, you got to do the same thing. So, I mean, she was the voice of reason, the voice of calming me down out there. And without her there, I probably would have went, you know, pre-merge.
Okay, so the first time you guys go to tribal council, it's the fourth tribal council. It's when Lindsay gets voted out. And it looks like that there was a lot of decisions, at least from us, from our perspective, watching the TV show, of what you guys were going to do. Because at least in the first couple episodes, it kind of looked like the three women were together, mm-hmm. and Rodney was kind of with the women, mm-hmm. and that you and Dan were on the outs. At least from the perspective of the TV show, that was never the case, correct?
Dan, day one was on the outs. If we lose the first immunity challenge, mm-hmm. Dan goes home that night.
But you were never on the outs.
I don't feel like my name ever got brought up for being booted in the blue collar tribe.
But is there a chance that in the first, you know, first tribal council, second tribal council, that there would have been a vote where the three women and Rodney were voting together? That would have never happened.
No, Kelly was with me.
Yeah.
Kelly was with me inside and out. We were a voting block at that point.
Okay.
Kelly and I.
Yes.
And so that's it. We had to figure out really and truly, did we want to go with the girls or did we want to go with the boys? And ultimately, we went with Lindsay because we felt.
And it was kind of a ballsy vote that you guys did, a 2-2-2 split, first time at tribal council.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you come into this game, you better come hitting the ground hard, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I think that's a part of strategy that gets lost in all of this as well, that we knew going into it that we had four, but we didn't know if Lindsay or Sierra had found the idol. So if either one of them had found the idol, we put all the votes on them. They put them on Rodney. Rodney's gone. Well, now we're 2-3, but we're going into a merge or a switch-up situation with two unhappy people instead of one.
Was there ever any talk of Sierra over Lindsay?
No.
It was Lindsay, always going to be Lindsay.
It was always Lindsay because the four felt like that Lindsay was the one that was causing the strife at camp.
Okay.
Yeah, Lindsay, here's the thing. Lindsay took on her control issue was the food. So like there was a battle every single day about this little amount of food that because we were literally eating half of what all the other tribes were. You know, she was trying to conserve the rice to day 39. Mm-hmm. And Rodney, bless his heart, kept telling her, he was like, you're not going to be here day 39. So why are you worried about saving the rice?
Right.
You know? So yeah, I mean, Lindsay, I love Lindsay, love her. But, you know, she was a point of controversy within our tribe. And so that's why we decided to take her.
And one of the things that she, you know, attacked you over was your faith, that mm-hmm. she talked about, like, you know, you say, hey, we need to work hard. And she said, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was basically like, well, what do you think? How do you think this fire got made? What do you think that God put it here?
That God's beard started this fire. Yeah. you know,
How hurtful was that for you?
You know, anytime that you talk about, number one, my friends, it's hurtful to me. Anytime that you talk, you know, you bring my God into the conversation, it's extremely hurtful. That being said, you know, I'm 38 years old. I've dealt with a lot of people in my life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in situations, people say things, number one, that they don't necessarily mean. And number two, it's completely out of anger. Mm-hmm. You know, so Lindsay and I have talked about that situation. You know, we're good with it. Is Lindsay, you know, like on the road to being a Christian? I don't know where she's at in her faith like that, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that she loves me enough that if something like that ever came up, that she wouldn't go that route again, you know? Okay. So then in that exact same conversation, when that all blew up, seriously, 15 minutes later, we are all in the ocean. Rodney's jumping off my shoulders and Dan's shoulders. Lindsay and Kelly and Sierra are playing this wave game that we would play, like over, under, through it. You either jump over it, go under it, go through it. You know, and we're all six out there in the ocean, like enjoying each other, you know? So, I mean, we would fight, but we would make up.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys go to this tribal council. You vote out Lindsay. Sierra is pissed. And this is going to go right into the tribe swap. So you have Sierra is pissed, and she's pissed at Dan because then Dan had to tell her off following that. Can you just set that up and what that was like following that tribal council?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it wasn't just Dan. It was Dan, Rodney, and Kelly.
Yeah.
They all three went super
hard.
What
was the reason why they were going after her?
Well, Dan went after her, from letting her know that she was not as physically dominant as Sierra thought, which was, you know, a little below the belt. Rodney was pissed that, you know, Sierra had written his name down, and, Kelly, who's one of the most kind people in the whole world, you never hear her say anything bad.
Yeah.
I feel like she kind of jumped in on it a little bit. Nothing like what else had transpired that night, but you know, Kelly had come in and taken a couple shots as well. At this point, right when we get back from camp, you know, we're having a discussion. Well, they call me to go, do a walk, and I go on the walk, and you know, I'm gone 30, 45 minutes.
You're one of your interviews.
Excuse me. Yeah. I go on an interview, and it's, you know, I'm gone 30, 40 minutes, and I come back, and I mean, they're still ripping into her.
Okay. This is at night, still after tribal.
Right. And I mean, it brought up, I was bullied as a kid and stuff, you know, and it brought up all those feelings of being, you know, like bullied and I mean, I stepped in, I was like, yo, y'all stop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like this is not acceptable. You know,
I just don't understand what were they just beating over her
a dead
head?
Horse. They were just beating a dead horse.
What was the, like, you're not as good in the challenges as what you think?
Well, not just that, but like, you know, you and Lindsay, you know, separated yourselves from the group, you know, you became a twosome, and you know, you can't do that in a game of Survivor. And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that there were names being called or nothing like that. Cause I was gone. I was gone for a lot of that conversation. But when I walked back up into it, I wasn't willing to let that go any further than where it did, which in the end, it's really strange that, you know, like, stepped up for Sierra, but she voted Carolyn. Come on, C. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, boo boo. No, Sierra.
When you say
knows.
C, that's Sierra.
That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Not C. Mama C.
No, when I call Sierra C or boo boo, that's our, and boo boo became day one, Lindsay and Rodney.
There was never anything romantic between you and Sierra in the game. I think that Rodney called her your girlfriend at one point in the game.
Yeah.
And there's a couple points, like even in the finale, where she's like, has her head on your shoulder, but it's not anything. That's platonic. Totally. And Sierra.
Sierra and I are
you and Boo Boo.
Me and Boo Boo.
Boo Boo is not your boo.
Boo Boo is not my boo.
Is she your bae?
She's one of my bays, but my bae.
Love you,
bae. Would have to be Kel.
Yes.
You know, Kel. Because okay. Kel is bae. That's my bae.
Got it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So right after this happens, now tribe swap happens, and seemingly,
wait, can we back up one small detail? The very next morning, right after, I grab Kelly. I'm like, Kelly, y'all ripped into Sierra, you know, almost like the same conversation that Kelly had with me about the firewood. I had with her, I was like, we've got to get Sierra back on board because something's about to happen, you know. But, and I would like to back up just a little bit more before that as well. When there was six of us before we went into that final, that the immunity challenge that Lindsay went home, we're all down at the river. And I've come up to the blue collars and I'm like, okay, look, very soon we're going to get split up. So here we need to have a plan in place that, like, say we get the numbers, say it's a seven, say they split us up at 7-7 and there's 14 people left in the game. Well, if we have a 4-3 advantage, the people that are on the four that have the most numbers on the tribe that get split up, we throw those challenges to get our other people that are on the other tribe,
right,
that could be targeted, safe to the merge. Then we come back to the merge six strong and we just decimate everyone mm-hmm. else and we go blue collar all the way.
Yeah.
So that's where the throwing of the strategy actually was birthed.
Pre-swap.
Pre-Lindsay going home.
Okay.
So cut to the next morning after Sierra gets blindsided, taking Lindsay home. And Kelly and I grab Sierra and we're down at the river and we have this, you know, really, really good talk, long talk.
Pre-swap.
And, it's actually the morning that we're going to the, to be swapped. And we have a really good conversation with Sierra and it's just like, see, we had to get rid of Lindsay because you guys were a couple and that's too strong in the game of Survivor, you know? So, We tried to bridge some hurts and some offenses, and I think we did a good job because ultimately, all the way up until nine, Sierra voted with me, until nine people were left.
You know, that was a big theme, especially early on in this season of we got to split up couples. Where did that come from? Where was the couple fear? Like, what did you see in previous seasons? Like, who was the couple that scared you?
Obviously, Rob and Amber. I mean, that's the
so
biggest.
Even going all the way back, because we talk about how much Cagayan impacted this right. season, because that was what you guys had seen right before mm-hmm. you went to go play. But there wasn't really a dominant couple. You know, Tony always had Wu, but it wasn't really a couple-dominated season.
No, this, you know, the game of Survivor is about what? Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are solidified with one number, then you're a voting block. Then you're a power couple. And you have two votes that carry, and that's it with seven people in the game. If you have two of those votes, I mean, you only need to pull two more, another couple around. And I mean, you've got the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not anything that your average Survivor fan doesn't understand, but numbers in the game of Survivor are crucial. And if you have somebody that you've given your word to, like I did with Kelly, I would have never voted against Kelly. I would have went to the final three with her and lost to Kelly. But if you, it's so important to have that one person that you can tell everything to, that you can sound off of, because you cannot win the game of Survivor by yourself. Doesn't work.
Well, didn't you just do that?
No. I did it from nine on.
Okay, yeah.
But I had people in place that helped me all the way through the game to get there.
Yeah, it is much easier to have somebody.
For sure, for sure.
Okay, so let's go into the swap. And the way it ends up breaking out, seemingly, hey, this is great for you and for blue collar, because you end up with four blue collars. However, you have three people who are not blue collar in Joe and Joaquin and Tyler, and here's Sierra. And very quickly in that same episode, there's a point where you and Dan and Rodney like walk away and go do something. And she's like, you know, I hate these people. I hate these guys.
All of that was planned.
Oh,
we had told Sierra, let me rephrase that. Us four got together and devised a plan that Sierra was going to play the damsel in distress.
Boy, this was a very risky plan.
Very risky plan.
Because, you know, we have this, like, going back to, like, in South Pacific, like, the Aussies group and your buddy Jim Rice, like, they tell Cochran, like, hey, you go and you go be the mole and tell them that you're going to, you know, that you're going to vote with them. And then they actually, like, just like in true 24 fashion, like the person that you send over to be the fake spy ends up actually defecting.
Well,
like,
I mean, I think there was a point in time in the game where she really, really did think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, where she was unsure and then, you know, ultimately chose to stick with the blue collar alliance. But, you know, it wasn't dangerous for Dan and I, that vote, because mm-hmm. everyone knew in that particular vote that Joe had to go home.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, he's such a huge threat, and we knew that we were going to be getting close to the to the merge situation. But, you know, that goes back to us throwing the challenge. Like, we're not going to throw that challenge, Dan and I. Well, Dan didn't throw it, but Sierra, Rodney, and I are not going to throw that challenge unless we were 100%, unless I was 100% sure that I wasn't going home.
Okay.
You know, I knew I was safe that night.
All right. So Sierra, when she says, I hate these guys, she's faking it.
Yes.
And what is the intention? Why go through that?
Because we need to know who their other side alliances are. So yeah. That whenever we do get to the merge, we're not blindsided by, you know, so-and-so was with so-and-so and they hid it from us. So if Sierra can look like she's going to flip, she can get the information from the other tribe members of who they're close with, who we need to target as a voting block through the rest of the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some plan.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was so much strategy in this season that really got overshadowed.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So ultimately, you guys don't throw that first challenge where you couldn't.
There's no possible way.
I mean, don't even remember what it was. It was like, it was another
sled.
One of those, yeah.
We had the sled with the pots.
You guys just killed them. It wasn't even close.
No, they didn't even touch the wrecking ball. I mean, there was no possible way.
We forget how bad that other tribe was with, you know,
five women and two guys.
Yeah.
You had Will and Max as their strong guys, you know, so.
There was no way.
Yeah. They weren't beating us in that challenge.
Okay. So. It ends up being where Kelly, who looks like she's in danger, she's going to swing with the white collar people, but then she reads the tea leaves and it's going to be Max who goes home. So she makes it through there. How nervous are you though that she's going to be that person who goes out?
I barely slept that night when we came back. I mean, I was exhilarated with the win, but I was so nervous. I was so ready to go to the next reward challenge to see if Kel was still with us or if she got the boot.
Yes.
And elated when we walked around the corner, you know, and of course, you know, from other tribes, people are winking at each other, you know, and when you got on the mat, you know, people that used to play with each other, you know, you got Jen and Haley that are, you know, just staring at Joe, you know, and then you got other people walking in. I didn't even look at Kelly when we walked in, you know, cause I didn't want, and where, you know, where we messed up was on the merge. She runs right over to me and gives me a big old hug as soon as we merge, you know, and I'm like, Kelly, get away.
Get away.
You know? Well, I mean, I kind of did it to her too. I was, it's one of those things, those emotional cues that if you're smart enough, which in that moment I wasn't, that you can hide. But it was just overwhelming to see her and knowing that we made the merge and we got five blue collars going into this, you know, 12 person merge. So, yeah, and I mean, I think that they, you know, there's been a lot of talk this season about them merging us too quickly or, you know, being too many people. I think possibly, you know, with our gameplay, with our strategy about throwing these challenges, that we might have forced, you know, a little bit of an early merge because we were definitely throwing the next challenge to get rid of.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty Joe. On the, like, what they've done in previous seasons like this, like, you know, on point. I think it's pretty much exactly, I think in Kagyan, I think they merged at 11.
Yep.
They merged at 11, and I'm not sure it was.
I think there's been six seasons, and I could be wrong with that. Like, please don't blow me up on social media, people, but I think there's been six seasons where there were 12 merge people at the merge.
Yeah.
I think I could be wrong on that number.
Yeah, but they've definitely merged at 12 before.
For sure.
So it's not like anything that was outrageous.
Right.
All right. So when you guys now decide, hey, let's throw the challenge here because we're going to protect Kelly and we're going to go after Joe. One of the things that I never quite understood, and I know that you guys have talked about this a lot, is why vote out Joaquin instead of Joe? Because I know it's like, okay, Rodney and Joaquin, we're going to be tight, but like, were we really afraid that Rodney and Joaquin were just going to bro down until the end of the game? Was that a real threat, Rodney and Joaquin?
Yeah, I really, really, really feel like, you know, two big things in the game.
Because Rodney turned out to be a guy that we didn't give enough credit to, but was Joaquin?
Joaquin would have ended up being a challenge beast. If you go back and you watch him and all the challenges that he performed in, he was the three C's. He was cool, calm, and collective.
Cool, and, calm, and collective.
And all of the challenges, you know, I mean, he did really, really well. How the Joaquin vote came to be about was Dan and I were down in I think maybe Sierra was down there as well. Dan and I and Sierra were down in the water and we were talking. And, you know, we were all thinking, okay, Joe's got to go. You know, he's a big threat, you know. And Dan goes, man, I really feel like we should vote Joaquin. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. You know, let me have the night to sleep on it and think about it. And I pretty much stayed up that whole night thinking about that. And the more and more I thought about it, I saw Rodney and Joaquin's relationship come in full speed. I knew that, you know, Tyler and Joaquin tried to, you know, mask how close they were, but Tyler would constantly be like, hey, Walk, did you get this or did you get some water or whatever? So, you know, like the social cues would tell you that they were much closer than they appeared. Well, they had come over and told us that Shireen was horrible. And so I'm thinking you guys are doing the same thing to us that we're doing to you with Sierra. You're trying to throw us off the scent.
Even though they really weren't.
Even though, like, with the Shireen thing, they weren't. But yeah, with Mama C, they were. You okay. Because those three were really, really tight.
But so, knowing everything that you came to know, wasn't Joe still the bigger threat than Joaquin?
No. Joaquin, in that moment in the game, was, in my personal opinion, the biggest threat. Because Joe, and this was part of the discussion that we went through, was he can't win all of them. We're going to have a chance to get him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets in there, let's take our chances with Joe. You know, and also a great thing about saving Joe was Joe and I developed a really intense friendship in the first like 4 days that he was on the island. Cause him and I, you know, would always go work together. We'd build the fish traps. We, you know, so
you love Joe.
Love Joe. We got really, really close. But I mean, and this is what I told people in my interviews. I was like, if Joe, not to sound like a pompous rear end, but if Joe is wooing a player like me, then what is he doing to maybe the less strategic or less, you know, right, social, you know, whatever, the people that are seeing the game? If he's wooing me, then man, this guy's powerful and he's going to end up having to go. But by saving Joe in that vote,
yes,
that garnished me three votes, because the very first vote, whenever Jen Brown plays her idol and Kelly goes home, my name is not on the no caller lips. Kelly is.
Right.
But because I saved Joe, Joe thought I was with him, you know, because going into that tribal council, I told the no callers, yeah, we're voting Kelly. And the whole time I'm like, you picked the one person in my alliance that I would never, ever vote against.
So by saving Joe there, that ultimately saved your game, because they could have easily, I think a lot of people say, well, why don't they vote for Mike there at that? Because people have said this, that's the last time you're unprotected for the rest of the game.
Right.
That vote.
Right.
And so if you don't save Joe, that could be you. The Jen plays her idol, you go home.
Exactly.
You're on that pre-jury trip. You're going to hang out with Joaquin and Max and all
Costa,
those guys.
Costa Rica.
Yeah. That's going to be you.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and I'm going to be sitting here with Joaquin.
Possibly Joaquin or even Rodney.
Yeah.
You know, which wouldn't that be a crazy winner to have Rodney?
That would be.
I'd love to see that, popping champagne bottles with him and Joaquin.
How fast would that money be gone?
You know what? Rodney's a hustler. And I think that he
turned that million into 2 million.
I think he would probably turn it into about five. Actually.
5 million.
I really do. Yes. Yeah.
Are you saying, I mean, 500% is a great return on investment. Yeah. Will you give your money to Rodney to invest for you?
No, I believe I'm going to keep it.
Hey, if he can turn that five times around.
Well, I mean, hey, Rodney might be able to do five, but I'm going to do 20.
20?
Why not?
Wow, 20.
I'll give you my money then
if you're going to get 20.
There you go. Let's do it.
All right.
The RHAP investment company.
Yes. Yes. I'll give you everything. Okay. So, just going back to these guys with Joe, and you speak very highly of Joe.
Yeah.
Do you think Joe is set up well for Second Chance?
No.
Yeah.
Oh God, I feel in Second Chances, you're not just playing the game, but you're also playing other people's that have played the game egos. And
do you think that Joe made a mistake in he could have gotten out there and I'm not saying that he needed my help or anybody like me to get on the show, but he had a chance to, those interviews that I did, all those other people that were going to be on the show were listening.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a chance to talk to the, you know, get, you know, he didn't have to make call anybody on the phone. He wouldn't have been seen as pre-gaming, but he had a chance to every single person that he was going to be out there with, almost, or 80% of the people he was going to be out there with, were probably listening to those things and could have gotten to hear Joe's take on what was going on. Do you think that that was a missed opportunity for Joe?
No, I really don't. I feel like the best thing for Joe going into this game is to have a little bit of mystery surrounding him, because we already saw, you know, 10 weeks or not 10 weeks, like 7 weeks of the Joey Amazing Show, you know? And so the less that people know about his game, the better, I think. You know, where Joe's going to be in trouble at the exact same spot he was last time, unless he can be on the majority alliance. No, I don't think so.
Shane Power says Joe candidate to be first one off.
No way. Nope. Not happening. I'll make one of your bets with you.
Yeah. Right, well, I don't know. I don't see it, but I do think that he could run into trouble, because I could tell you that the Survivor veteran, one of the things they really don't like is the new hotness.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, you think you're so great? And I could tell you this from experience that at one point, believe it or not, such a long time ago, you know, that, you know, when I came up, people were wanting to do, you're hitting the buzzer.
I'm just kidding, Rob. Coming into the new hotness.
Coming into Survivor All-Stars, there was a lot of people, and, you know, ultimately the people that got me were, but I could have easily been on a different tribe, and people, you know, wanted to, oh, you think you're so great.
Yeah.
You know, they want to cut you down. So you don't think that Joe could run into that buzzsaw?
I'm hoping not in the first one or two votes. I'm hoping those people out there realize his intrinsic value in these challenges.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that he gets
if you're on a tribe with a, you know, here's Terry and here's you've got a bunch of strong guys.
Alpha males.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider cutting Joe at that point?
No.
Especially because he's very good with these women.
He's okay. That's the thing. Like, you would have to use Joe. I think somebody would be very smart. Let's take Vetus.
Okay.
For instance, I think Vetus would be very smart to use Joe in the way that I use Joe as a shield,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, Vetus will be seen as a physical threat at some point in the game, which I don't think in his first game he really was perceived as that too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think somebody that is savvy enough could be in a majority alliance and pull Joe along with them and then turn on him in the way, you know, that he's a shield for their game to get a couple more votes down the line.
Yeah. And I know this is all about you. We're not going to talk too much more about Joe,
but
I feel like, Joe's real danger zone is right when we're talking about right now in Survivor 30, where it's right before the merge. Should we throw a challenge and get Joe out because we don't want him to go on a run for individual immunity? And you ultimately decide not to.
Yeah. Well, I needed him.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I had a really distinct feeling. Good segue, by the way. I had a really, really good feeling that I could do strongly in these challenges. But I mean, let's just be real. You've got this 26-year-old stud that is, you know, one or two steps, maybe more than that, faster than me, you know, better than me at everything. So I knew that once Joe was out of the game, that I had a really, really good opportunity to go on an immunity run. I didn't know how big of an immunity run I had in me. I didn't know what this game was going to do to me mentally, physically, emotionally, all the way down the stretch. But you know, Joe being gone, Joaquin being gone, those were two really, really big moves in the game that, you know, propelled me to the win, actually.
Okay. So you had to do a thing, and I've compared you to Tony a bit in talking about the game.
Big compliment.
And you guys have something in common where, at least in this first half of the game, you're going to vote out Rodney's number one guy. Rodney and Tyler and Joaquin are going to vote for Joe, but you and Dan and Joe and Sierra are going to vote out Joaquin.
Yeah.
And you have to get Rodney back on your side. Mm. And even though Rodney is going to say after this, there's probably going to be a little bit of a fence that's never going to be mended. And this is where the start of, hey, I got to get Mike out. You do get him back on board for a bit. Mm. He's not going to defect and flip to the other side totally, but he is going to start to freelance more at this point. But you are able to bring Rodney back into the fold to a degree. Did you feel like there was a risk there that Rodney was just going to completely fly off the handle going into the merge?
Yeah, well, we thought he was going to blow up the night when we came back. And he actually took it. He took it pretty well. I mean, he internalized a lot of it and started making plans, like you said. Credit to him. Yeah, that was roughly about seven days.
Yeah,
where, you know, like Mike just stepped in it everywhere he went, you know, basically because you get rid of Joaquin and then, you know, Rodney's upset. Well, then we come back from the immunity challenge that Joe wins and we were all going to vote Haley. Mm-hmm. And at the last second, I go and change it, tell everybody that we're voting Jen. And so we vote Jen and we can't split the vote there because we don't know if Will is with us or not. So it'd be perfect if we could have went 4-4-4 and then Kelly stays and Haley goes home because the vote would have been for right. Haley, for
that's
Jen.
That's a lot of maneuvering in the day you guys merge and you right. don't know who's playing you, who's right. not playing you. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in that split vote.
Well, here's the funny thing is, and they showed part of the conversation. I talked to everybody, Rob, every day.
Yeah.
Or once or twice a day. And I made it known throughout the whole camp. Hey, look, I'm going to talk strategy. I'm, you know, like we all know what's going on. Like,
hey, you guys do your thing.
Like we all know what's happening, right. You know? So like, don't be brokering backyard deals. Just do it out in the open, you know? But part of that was also so I could listen and spy on people's conversations.
Now, where did you get that idea? Was that from Tony? Was that from Sandra? Was that something that you did on your own?
I mean, throughout all the seasons of Survivor, if you're not picking things from each of the winners to do in your game, and you're not, you know, like really paying attention to key moves that they made in their game and implementing in your game, somebody else is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you better be the one doing that or know the knowledge or, you know, there are such great strategists that have played this game, you know, and did they make every move right? Absolutely not. But the moves that they did make that were right, like let's just take Malcolm, for instance, the Three Amigo idol play, you know, I mean, dude, that was one of the most sick tribal councils I've ever seen in my entire life. That's where I got me fake playing the idol for Shireen. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, it's just you look at all of these past survivors, and that's where I think being a super fan, I don't know if I would classify myself as a super fan, but a really, really big fan of the game of Survivor comes in to help you.
Yeah.
Because you, like Shireen at the auction, we wouldn't have got our letters for $20, you know, but Shireen spoke up and was like, hey, y'all can get your letters for $20.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But when you were out there and we're about at the time of the game where you are going to meet up with Shireen, how much are you talking about the previous seasons? Because we saw that was something that, at least in the perspective of the TV viewer, Max and Shireen just talk about it constantly. They get on everybody's nerves talking about how much were you talking about previous seasons of Survivor when you were on Survivor?
Well, Shireen and I would geek out because that was her, that was the best way for me to develop relationship with her was to, you know, find a common goal and geek out about it. But, you know, for 6 days I had heard how horrible of a human being Shireen was. Mm-hmm. And then I meet this girl and, you know, the first thing that I told Shireen basically out of my mouth was, hey, you want to know how you're going to earn my respect? You work around camp. And every time I would get up to do something or go get firewood, I'd look around and there's that little girl right beside me picking up firewood. You know, so yeah, her and I would not so much in front of the group when we would go have our alone time and stuff. Dude, we would geek out about Survivor and talk about, you know, certain things and certain plays for sure.
So you guys merge and now you're at the helm of seemingly this really big group of people, eight total now. Rodney, he's brought in Will. He's brought in Mama C. Did you have a relationship with either of those people?
No. Well, Will and I had a really cool conversation that first day.
You know, and Kelly was with them in the new No Collar tribe. And is she like the liaison to those people?
Kelly, I wouldn't say that she had Mama C or whatever, but Kelly and Mama C were developing a really good relationship.
Yeah.
And so that's where you see the Access of Evil actually including Kelly in the plan.
Yeah, what's that about? Now, she's in on the plan to take you out?
Well, no.
Mole there?
Okay, so they hadn't started plotting to take me out yet at that point. Like, they were just, right after Kelly went home was the catalyst, because Rodney was pissed that Kelly went home, because he was close with Kelly as well. Not as close as we were, but he was close. Now, after the game, this is all after talk, because I asked Kelly this question too. I go, hey, what
gives?
Like, you know, you and me were number one. And she goes, honestly, Mike, I had to have a contingency plan, you know, in case, you know, something happened to you. And also, you know, I was going to come back to you, you know, and tell you all of this stuff, but I was waiting for more information.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I believe Kelly. I don't think that she's a liar. I think that she has my best interest at heart. So if she says that she was going to do that, then that's what she was going to do.
Yeah. You know? Now, does she also know that maybe you can't keep that under your hat for if you find out about it, because you're so intense about it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, she was wise.
And your intensity, it was a double-edged sword, I feel like, because there were times it served you well in terms of finding the idol, spying on people, you know, determination in these challenges. But it also turned some people off that you're out there with. And even in talking, like, in my exit interviews with, like, you know, Rodney and Sierra, they're still saying, like, oh, you know, you don't know, like, Mike was out there and he was, like, all, you know, all the time. Mm. And it's one of the reasons I think that these people said, like, we have to get Mike out.
Well, I mean, I didn't shut off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went out there, and one of my game plans going into the game was run as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And look around, and whoever's keeping up with you, that's who you got to cut.
Yeah. Could you keep that in check if you played a second time? Is that something that you could work on? Because
absolutely,
you know, in getting to know you a little bit, you're not like that in real life,
right?
Where, you know, but we're not, you know, there's not $1 million at stake right now.
Well,
is that just competitiveness?
I am hyper competitive. Mm-hmm. I can barely play pickup sticks with my nephew and let them win and without wanting to just punch myself in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I do let them win because
yes.
They need to feel that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, yes, 1,000,000%. I have seen my many, many, many faults on this season.
Because you had moments too. Like, I thought one of the things that you did really well was, like, you sort of started to win Mama C over when you go on the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget which one that was that when you went to the school with
yeah,
her?
Yeah, the orphanage.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, you sort of went out of game mode. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I think was probably in some ways that you were able to show a different side of your personality that people liked better than when you were just, you know, game, this person's playing you, you got to see this, you're not listening to me. And that was something that I think worked in your favor.
Well, I think that's the first time that she actually really saw my heart.
Yeah.
Because when we were actually riding in on the big truck, we're standing there and I just stopped and I turned around to Mama C and Sierra and I go, look, we are here to be in this moment for these children.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to eat. We're not here to, you know, to talk about strategy. We're here for these kids. And as long as we're here for these kids and give them the experience that they need as well, then after all of that's said and done, we'll sit down and we'll eat and we'll talk some strategy, whatever. But this is about those kids.
You got to get the three C's. Maybe cool, calm, and collective.
Cool. You got to get cool, calm, and collective. But my heart really is children. I love kids, man. I love,
and I get that about you.
Yeah, and I love people that have come from a troubled background like myself. You know,
right.
And my heart goes out to that. So I think yeah, you're right. I think that was a turning point in her seeing me not as just this crazy guy running around camp trying to blow stuff up, but she saw me as a human being in that moment.
Right. Because I think that every time that came up, then I think that, you know, the people that were working against you put out this narrative. It was sort of like this talking point. They had Mike is crazy. Look, Mike has gone crazy. Uh-huh. And then every time that you were trying to hustle and scramble and push harder, that they just were able to sort of like deflect that and say, you see, he's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just typical crazy Mike. and it almost like cut out your arguments from you. Like you were trying to say, like, you were the person like, see, but I'm right. But I'm right. You have to listen to me. And they're like, oh, see, Tim, he's just
right here in front of you.
So it was an effective counter argument to what you were, you know, doing this whole that
credit Mike, Rodney.
Yeah.
And it's credit also, Rodney.
It's like one of these things where it's like in like these like political campaigns where it's like that there's a thing where it's like take somebody's like biggest strength and turn it into a weakness so that they can't use it anymore. And like, that's kind of what they did to you.
Yeah. They really handcuffed me. But here's a big part of my game that I don't think very many people, maybe they did see it, and it's the scramble.
Yeah.
I scrambled rather I was safe or rather I was in trouble.
Yeah.
I was constantly scrambling to make sure that the person that I wanted to go home left tribal council that night. So, you know, the only person that it didn't work with, jury wise, was Shireen.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I voted out of the game besides Shireen. You know, the only two people that I did not vote out of this game were Kelly and Shireen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise, the other 15 people, I directly had a hand in kicking them out.
Yeah. You know, Shireen said that about Carolyn, that she voted every single person out of the game every time she went to tribal council. But, she might have her facts not straight on it, with all due respect to Shireen and the final tribal council, right? Or am I misremembering how she phrased that?
Carolyn,
she said Carolyn every time, every person Carolyn voted for went home.
Maybe that's true. I would have to look at the numbers.
Well,
I think
she didn't vote. She didn't vote for Boot. Jen, and right. Then Jen played the idol.
I'm not sure
if she's counting idol splits and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, Survivor Wiki has that I have 4 votes against me, which is, you know, not true.
Yeah. You're, well, they do. I love the Survivor Wiki. Don't
I know? That's why I brought it up.
I have it open in front of me.
Just so messing with you.
Don't talk bad about my Survivor Wiki.
I just wanted to give old Tyson a shout out. Tyson, I think Wiki's got it wrong too, but
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. So we're at this point in the merge where you have all these people and you're going to go ahead and you're going to vote and try to take out Jen. You're going to switch the vote. It was originally going to be Haley. You want it to be Jen. And you do this thing where Rodney has Will, but you want to test Will.
Got to know where he stands.
So talk to me about this, because you got to think it's going to piss off Will after the vote. And Boston Rob does this with Philip in Redemption Island also, of like, hey, I'm going to put my arm on somebody and then I want you to vote for them. And that's going to test loyalty. And so is that where that comes from? This idea of I'm going to test this guy?
100%. I said it in tribal council so many different times. You don't know who's really on your side until you're leaving tribal council and the person that you deemed that needed to go home is going home. Knowing that Rodney was so funny, because he would come to us and he'd be like, yo, I got them in my back pocket. They're in my back pocket. But that was everybody, you know, like he would come back to me and be like, yo, I got so-and-so. And I'm just sitting here going, man, I just don't really think that you have Will. I think he's with the no callers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think
but he did
have him, to his credit. He had him and all the way to the end of the game. Holy crap. That was the new bromance that not very many people in the game saw. I did it not just with Will there. You know what I mean? The very first, you go back to our very, very, very first vote, the 2-2-2 split.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's a very big test to put in people's hands, you know, saying, hey, you know, it was ultimately Rodney that was putting his trust in our hands because he knew he was going home, but we weren't deceiving them. But yes, throughout the whole game, I would tell people to vote a certain way to prove their trust to me.
Okay. So Jen ends up playing her idol. Kelly goes home. Ugh. Your number one ally in
my
the game is gone. And also this kind of makes you lose some points, because you told everybody vote for Jen and she played her idol.
Oh yeah. 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 They came back not everybody came back, because we knew we still had, you know, 2-3 chances to get Joe. I mean, that's where we were going with that vote anyways, but Joe won immunity. It was one of those things that you get back, and then Rodney started the bad blood. You know, Mike told us all to change this. You know, he's the one in charge. He's the one running the show, you know, and look at where we are now, you know? And so
Yeah.
It was a double whammy for me.
It was a double whammy. Okay. So at this point in the game, now this is when we are down to the final 11. And in this challenge, or we're going to have this reward challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Where Joe ends up winning the reward.
Yeah.
Correct? And Joe has to pick people to go on the reward with him. And again, the no collar people are still intact. They don't know that Will is off. So he has to pick people to go on reward with him. And he ends up picking here all the people that he sees as the swing votes in Carolyn, Shireen, Tyler, and Will. And they end up going off. Are you panicking at the amount of people that he ends up taking? Do you see that as a threat?
No. Joe's fate was written on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, even whenever the people came back from the reward, there was a genuine response from all of them, like, hey, thanks for the pizza, but you're still going home, basically. But I knew, I didn't know, but I figured that whenever they went on that reward, since I knew our idol hadn't been found yet,
yeah,
or at least by me, that they were probably going to get some type of clue for the reward.
Okay. So this is when Joe ends up seeing that Carolyn has the thing in her soda and yeah, that he ends up, you know, getting that clue. Tyler ends up seeing Joe and Tyler have the thing. They go out looking for the clue and you decide to go and spy on them. How far away from them are you when you're overhearing what they're saying?
I actually never overheard. I was
just watching.
I was really far, not really, really far away. But here's the thing about this: a little production talk, real quick. There's a camera on me, so if there's a camera on me, then right, that means there's a camera guy. There's a sound guy.
That's what
guy,
we used to say about the sound, the spy shack of like, did people not see a bush with like a guy with a boom mic over it?
Right. So I mean, yeah, it was one of those things that you had to be aware of, not only yourself, but you had to be aware of the camera crew and not being seen.
Can you say to the like production, like, guys, just like I'm going to be up in the tree. You can like,
yeah,
you don't.
They, like, if you can give them a legitimate reason why, hey, can't have you like right here, right?
Especially
now.
Especially if you're not talking to somebody, like you can't say, expect them to say, cause they're going to say like, hey, look, we're here to do a job. Don't get mad
right,
at us.
Right.
But if you're talking to somebody, you can't say, hey, can I have a private conversation? But if you're just up in the tree by yourself.
And like, you don't want somebody to spot
right,
you.
Right.
Cause I mean, we're all players. We're not idiots. I mean, if you see a camera crew somewhere, you know, something, you know, somebody's talking to somebody somewhere.
Right. If you have to go to the bathroom, they're not going to follow you. Like if you're by yourself, you can kind of do whatever you want. It's more like you're having a conversation with somebody, you can't tell them like, hey, get out of here. But so you see this and then you go up to Tyler.
Well, let me set the scene for you. So, I got up 45 minutes before anyone else got up.
Yeah.
And I went and sat in the what we call the king chairs, the Rodney and,
yes,
and Will chairs. So, you know, I go in, I sit in there and I get, you know, like nestled in and I'm just waiting for them to get up. And as soon as I hear some rustling around, I kind of peek out my eyes and I see Joe get up and he taps on Tyler. And so then I just lay there until I, you know, see them, you know, going out of camp. As soon as they got out of camp, you know, it didn't show me pop up because, you know, in the game of Survivor, you don't pop up without being completely dizzy. So, you know, I stood up slowly, got my faculties, if you will, all about myself. And then I ran down the back path and they're walking down the beach. Well, I'm mirror imaging them all the way down the beach, you know, just trying to see if they're going to do anything. Well, they finally get around to where the river is and I'm tucked away behind these bushes and the camera guys are tucked away behind the bushes where, you know, Tyler and them can't see us. And I see Joe reach into his pocket and I see him pull out like this little,
yeah, scroll,
whatever it was. And immediately I was like, oh crud, I'm in big, big, big time trouble because they actually do have it and he's not sharing it with me.
So you go down to Tyler and you say, hey Tyler, what's going on? And he is in 100% deer in the headlights.
Well, I mean, I was sitting there thinking to myself, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it's so weird. The one word that came to me was blitzkrieg.
Yeah. You blitzed him. Yeah.
I blitzed the former NFL kicker.
Roughing the kicker.
Roughing the kicker.
15 yards. First down. Go back first down, Joe.
So I basically, you know, rolled up on him real quick. And in doing so, Tyler thought that I had seen the clue,
yeah.
you know, which I ultimately I did.
Yeah.
And then cut to the next scene where it's me and Tyler standing there and he's telling me the whole clue. Well, he didn't tell me the whole clue. He gave me bits and pieces of the clue.
But he's going to give you enough information that you are going to find the clue, which is ultimately going to lead to you staying in the game and him going home. Mm. And it changes everything in that moment. Like that it's,
Isn't it symmetry? Is that what they call it? That he's the one that divulged the clue to me and I use the idol and he goes home?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people didn't, put that together.
Yeah, yeah.
But his inability to sort of throw you off the scent or to give you not enough information that he can ultimately go and find the idol
right.
is what's going to ultimately save your ass when, yeah. the one time you needed it and send him home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing about that day that you see me finding the idol, like the reason you see me eating termites, I didn't go back to camp that whole day.
Yeah.
I was gone all day looking for that idol, you mm-hmm. know, and finally, I mean, thank God, finally, I walk past, that tree and I look down and I've dug in this tree, Rob. I've dug in this base of this tree 15,
yeah.
20 times. So I go to the base and I look and then I just turn my head and I see this twig.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of the clue that Tyler gave to me that solidified where the idol was defying gravity.
Yeah.
And I was like, this twig right here doesn't really, match. And I pull the twig out and then there's the parchment of paper. And it was just day 21.
The twig was defying gravity?
No. The twig was kind of like masking the burlap sack to where you wouldn't just walk past the tree
okay,
and see
it.
The burlap sack yeah. of the idol.
It was hanging there, right?
It was actually yeah. stuffed up into the tree bark.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, but finding that idol, especially since I was looking for it since day one and finding it on day 21, which, 121, 21 are big numbers for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a cool moment.
Okay. So ultimately then you guys get Haley out. And so Haley is gone. And then you guys get down to, what is that? The final 10?
10.
Then?
Okay. Yeah, that's when I start going for Tyler.
Yeah. And you're going for Tyler. You were going to take Tyler out here?
Well,
this is where he wins immunity in this episode, right?
Right, right. Here was my game plan. My game plan was if Joe doesn't win, Tyler's the next to go. And I brought this up to Sierra and Dan, on a separate issue. And I said, hey, man, like, I really feel like they're coming for me around 8, maybe even possibly 9. And Dan was like, well, why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that way? I said, well, because I've heard conversations. Oh, no. We can't get Tyler because then we'll lose Mama C, the whole 9, like all of this stuff. And I turned to Dan and Sierra both at separate times. And I go, what do you have going on with Tyler that you don't have going on with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because this should be easy. Well, we're in the 7. We're in the 7. I said, no, we're in this 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's blue collars against everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that Rodney is already starting to make plans at this point.
Yeah.
That was my boot order. And then that's kind of where I really, really lost traction in the game with my own alliance. And then obviously the auction did not help me whatsoever.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not quite
to the auction yet.
Yeah. But Joe going home here, this is when now Haley is gone. Jen kind of wants to quit. Joe is going to be working on his fake idol. He gives you the idol. Can you just talk us through your thought process that Joe is giving you this idol? Like, what percent do you think what he has is real?
0%. I felt like it was real.
Was it?
Actually, hold on. Let me retract that statement.
0% or
the chance of that happening? A 0.0000% chance.
I wasn't as confident as Rodney was there. But I'll say that I'll give it 20%.
20%.
I was 20% fooled by the move. 80% knowing that I just found the idol and it didn't have any red, blue, or yellow on it.
Because what was Joe's pitch to you? Because if it's like, hey, just save me this one vote, I'll give you my idol. Why, if it was real, why wouldn't he just play the idol?
Exactly, exactly. If it was real, why wouldn't you play it or give it to somebody else in your alliance and then them give it to you at tribal council and saying that, you know, you're going to play this for yourself to throw the vote off?
Yeah.
But he walks in. Okay, wait, let's back up to camp first. Whenever him and I are having a conversation and I'm like, walk me through a scenario that keeps you in this game. Because at that point,
and you wanted to keep him.
Actually, at that point, I really kind of did want to keep him because I knew how much of how much they were focusing on him. But at the same point, if Joe keeps winning immunities, eventually they're going to come to me and get me out. So yeah, I was like, hey, you know, I even told Joe, I was like, win one more immunity and we're going to flip this whole game on the other side. And and I was completely truthful about that. I was ready to do something to get away from Rodney. Like, I mean, I really was. I was like, yo, if I'm going to tie myself.
He was one of the few allies that you had in the game, Joe. He was one of the few people that was not working to get you out.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was behind the scenes working to get me out. But no one was taking what he was saying as truth because he was so much wanted gone.
Right. And he was at the bottom of the totem pole. And then you are seemingly at the top of the totem pole. And pretty much like in a few moments after he's gone, you're going to assume his spot.
Oh, yeah. Like.
All right. So Joe gives you this idol. And you ultimately end up playing it. And you play it for Will here. But in my mind, I was thinking like, boy, this would be a nice thing to have just in your pocket going forward. Why did you play the idol to verify? If you were that certain it wasn't a real idol, and you have a real idol, and Joe doesn't know, and you could compare it like, okay, this is the real idol. This does not look the same. So you had to have known at that point it's not the real idol, right? So why did you end up playing it? And Jeff, can you verify this?
Okay, so when we walk into tribal council, Joey Amazing hands me the idol. And the only person that saw that, to my knowledge, I don't know if anybody else saw that, was Tyler. But, you know, it wasn't a secret thing. So someone else had saw him hand me the idol. Well, that puts me in a very, very, very bad position in the game. If I am unwilling, number one, if I just put that in my pocket and walk away, Tyler's like, what'd you have in your pocket? You know what I mean? But if I play the idol, which number one, shows that my alliance that I'm not trying to keep anything, but, you know, from them behind their backs. Then also, if it was real, and I played it and for Will, then I look like an idiot to Joe. But I was showing Joe, hey, look, I know this because I'd given Joe my word. If you give me an idol, I will change my vote and keep you in this game. So it was me showing Joe, hey, look. Like, I appreciate your play, but I know this isn't real, but I'm still honoring my word because my word was if you gave me a real one, I wouldn't vote for you, but you didn't give me a real one. I sniffed out your play and I sent you home.
And I felt like all along going into this final tribal council, I felt like the no collars were going to be kingmakers on the jury. I felt like they were going to vote as a block no matter what.
Right.
And ultimately, that ends up being a good thing for you because, you know, you have Joe's vote at that point and, you know, subsequently Haley, Jen, Shireen, like all those people. And Shireen's not a no collar, obviously, but she was
adopted, you know, no collar.
Yep. So she ends up and those people, they all end up voting the same way. All right. So let's get into this. Let's go down to the final nine people left in the game. And this episode that starts off with this auction. And this is, you know, the point in the game where everything ends up changing for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and the whole season ends up changing here in a lot of different ways in this episode because of this auction. In my mind, this might be the most impactful auction in Survivor history. How about that?
Wow.
Can you think of an auction that ends up being a bigger deal and changing more? Like, there's not much because not only do you have the stuff that happens with you, this also sets into motion the whole thing with Will and then the whole stuff with Shireen. It's going to really just dominate the whole rest of the season.
Yeah, it was impactful for that reason for sure. I can't think, like you said, I can't think of another.
Just because it changes everything with you and then it changes the whole tenor of the game now for the whole final nine. And also the Will and Shireen stuff comes out of this also. So
I would say this about, you know, as a fan of Survivor, the auction is such a cool moment.
Yeah.
You know, as a fan. And
not to mention also Dan's advantage also happens in this auction also, which ends up not such a big deal in the game, but is a big factor.
It could have been a big deal in the game. It could have really, been, especially, you know, if in the 15 minutes I ran a scenario by you, it could have went a good way. It could have went a bad way. But the thing with the auction is, you know, it's such a cool experience. And it was like, it was fast forward through almost, which was a cool, we've never seen an auction, you know, where, yo, you're buying this, everybody's buying this, and then bam, we're going to get to this advantage.
Right. And I also think with this advantage, I have a feeling that when we record the Evolution of Strategy Volume 4 covering seasons 31 to 40, I think we're going to look back to, all right, well, the advantage when Dan Foley, if you remember Dan Foley, crazy Dan Foley back from Survivor 30, was the first person to get the vote advantage, but it's going to end up being something that's going to really dominate the talk in the next 10 seasons of Survivor. And I do think that the greatest moments of the vote advantage or the extra vote advantage are yet to come in Survivor history.
Yes.
So we will look back to Dan as the first person to have it. But I think that bigger moments are ahead and maybe as soon as this summer, a bunch of our friends that are going to go play in this next season, they may have bigger moments with the extra vote to come.
I mean, Dan was lovingly termed the guinea pig, I guess, if you will, for this, you know, to see how this played out.
Okay. So, you know that there's an advantage, but bigger, before we even get to that, at what point did you overhear something that lets people know that, or lets you know that people are coming for you?
It was before Joe went home.
Before
the Joe vote, I had overheard a couple of different conversations. One that was with Mama C and Will, and one that was with Rodney and Mama C. And then another one that was a very, very brief conversation with a wink, and that was Rodney's tell in the game. If he was with you, he would wink at you or come like grab you by your arm. Wow. Sorry for blowing your spot up, Rod.
It's like Rounders.
Yeah. So like Rounders.
The KGB.
You like apples? How about them apples?
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it wasn't just overhearing conversations, but it was watching body language and watching when people didn't think that anybody else was watching, and the handshakes and the hugs. And, you know, it's all in the game of Survivor. You can't go by everything that you hear or see. It has to be a marriage, if you will, of both to get the real story, the true story of what's going on.
Right.
My spidey senses, I guess, if you will, is the best way I can describe it, were peaked, were mm-hmm. tweaked. And I just had this really sickening feeling in my stomach that, you know, they were about to start making moves on me.
Yeah. Okay. So you have this sense, but do you have like point blank evidence? Like conversation.
Okay. The night before the auction, Mama C, Will, and...
But does that change anything you want to do with voting out Joe?
No, the night before the auction. Joe's already gone.
So, because it looked like from the episode that the episode starts with an auction. So is there a missing day in the edit of the show of the auction is not the day after Joe goes home?
No, the auction is the day after Joe goes home, but it's the night that you're missing. You know, the when we got back from Tribal.
Okay. Oh, okay. Got it. So Joe goes home, that there's a conversation that you overhear, and then the next morning is the auction.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
So you go into this feeling like I need this advantage no matter what. And you think it's just going to be a clue to another hidden immunity idol. Right?
I honestly really and truly thought it was going to be the Tyler Perry idol, which I hate, by the way.
Yeah.
No offense, Tyler Perry. It's way too much
Tyler
power.
Tyler Perry listens to the show.
Right. Of course. Yeah. He's a RHAP-er.
big RHAP super fan.
Not that he's doing anything by producing anything at these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So no.
The next Madea movie is Madea Makes a Podcast. That's what they're going to do.
You know, the funny thing about this whole Tyler Perry idol is that it's not a new idol. It's how it's Yule's idol.
Yes.
It's just repurposed with a new name.
Well, Tyler Perry forgot about that.
Yeah. So in the 2 a.m. conversations, I believe whenever Jeff and him came up with it, mm-hmm. that's what they told us. I guess they both forgot that this was Yule's idol.
You know, you ever have a 2 a.m. Text message conversation with like somebody, and it's not like a booty call. It's like the kind of thing that's like you just want to go to sleep, but somebody like keeps like text messaging you. So like this is like Jeff is like he just wants to go to bed, and Tyler Perry's like all fired up, like I got this idea for an idol, and Jeff's like, oh okay, sounds great, but he just really wants to like end the conversation and like.
I don't know. I think Jeff would be pretty excited to get a text message from Tyler Perry. I mean, I'd be pretty excited to get a text message from Jeff so I could see that, you know,
and it just goes downhill.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people that are in a bigger station in life than you are, you probably respect what they have to say more than you would.
And then I'm excited to get a text message from you.
Well, I mean, I would be more excited to get a text message from you, sir, for sure.
All right. No sucking. That is no sucking kneecaps here. All right. So then the auction happens. Okay. There's the whole thing with the advantage. How long does the auction go on before the advantage comes out?
Oh man, we were there probably a solid 30, 45 minutes of me smelling everyone else eating around me.
And it's you and Carolyn and Dan and Sierra, but then she ends up what, caving and getting something else?
No. It was Tyler actually that had held his money the whole time. Sierra had gotten steaks before for $100.
Okay. So how come that Tyler ends up not being in the mix when you ultimately end up doing the rock draw?
33% to 25%. The odds didn't, instead of being three people, there would have been four people. So he felt like, Tyler related to me to this after the game. He felt like that the advantage wasn't going to be the best prize at the auction. He thought there was going to be one more thing after.
Was that the last thing? Was there still food that came out after?
No. Well, Jeff graciously gave us a huge cheesecake that I got one big old handful of, man.
Was it the kind of thing where it's like, all right, cheesecake, and you guys have 30 seconds? I don't know why they always like to close the auction with that. Like, it's such great TV to watch people eat a cake really fast.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I don't know if you've ever eaten cheesecake really, really, really fast.
If not.
But it almost chokes you going down because it's so thick.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just like, oh. But the cool thing about that auction, too, though, was when we were walking out, Shireen, being the super fan that she was.
Yes. She talked about this in her.
Yes.
She covered herself.
Chicken on her arms. And like, I'm literally walking out of the auction licking Shireen's armpits.
Oh my God.
Getting peanut butter and sweat. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's better than tuna fish and parm. I'm just saying.
Okay. So the whole thing ends up happening where, okay, everybody's going to buy their letter. Okay, at what point, just take us through this moment, because it was such a big moment in this season of, all right, everybody, if they put $20 in to buy their letter, and Dan is like, no, you gotta go. And you say, what is it you say to Dan? Like, I wouldn't burn you like that.
I wouldn't break distrust that way.
Okay, yeah. But take us through, give us the inner monologue of what's going through your head in that moment.
Number one, the first thing that's going through my head is I don't want him doing the same thing that I'm about to try to do to them.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why I need to be the last one to go. But it all, like, I mean, as soon as Shireen said, we can get our letters for $20, and everybody was like, yo, let's do it. The first thought in my head was, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I need this advantage more than anyone else in the game right now. Like, this advantage is my lifeblood to getting further in this game, thinking that it was this huge, powerful idol.
Yeah.
So we stand up, you know, we start walking up there.
It's not for anything. The vote doubler wouldn't have done you any good.
No good. Like, zero good. Well,
then I'm trying to think, is there a time when they,
yeah, there actually was whenever it was Shireen and Jen and me, that the next vote.
Oh, cause they did it was a 3-3-3. Yeah.
Like if had they not known about it and I had the advantage, the 3-3-3 would have been a 3-3-4.
The greatest moment of the Survivor extra vote. Is yet to come.
It's yet to come. It could have been this season, maybe, if we would have changed numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, but we didn't. I don't even think then it would have changed numbers because at that point, the six were such in a Stockholm, I guess you could say. That's the best way that I've been able to describe it. Mentality.
Yeah.
That they were not breaking.
Yeah.
That they were going to stay to the six, and they were pagonging everyone else out. That was not in that six.
Right. So take us through your thought of, okay, now you go up there and then you go and you sit back down and everybody's like, oh my God, he didn't do it. He didn't do
Thanks,
it.
Jeff.
He didn't do it. And then we go right to, we go to commercial and everybody is like, oh my God, on Twitter, you know, everything's exploding. But in real life, take us through what was going on at this point.
So, I walk back to my seat, and of course, immediately Carolyn runs up there. It's like, well, I'm not going to take my letter either.
Give my money back.
I'm getting my money back, which we'll get into that in just a second. Which she would have not gotten her money back, by the way. She might have, had I not said anything, but I would have said something. I'd be like, no, but Jeff, like, you don't get your money. Yeah. Like, if somebody buys.
All sales are final at the auction.
If somebody buys a bowl of snails instead of getting the steaks that you uncover, they can't give you the snails back for their money.
Right.
You're not going to do that, Jeff. So in the same fairness of the game, I don't believe that he would have given her money back. But I'm sitting there, and it really does hit me. This is one of two moments in the game where I actually stopped playing the game for, a couple seconds. And it hits me. Yo, you just gave your word in front of a bunch of people, and you just trashed it. You just trashed your word. And that's when my heart started like going, dude, you better go get it. You better go get it. And so then that's whenever I caved. And strategically, in my opinion, heck of a move if I would have, stayed with it and went ahead and get the advantage strategically. But socially, it was basically like, hey, you might as well just take me out the pasture and shoot me right now.
So, and you talked about this in the reunion show about how you had all of the negative consequences without any of the benefits. So if you had to do it over again, what's the mulligan move on that?
If I was to do it all over again, well, let me ask you this. Am I still going to win all the immunities after or no?
I mean, there's a whole butterfly thing butterfly effect, where you change one thing, you change everything. You know, your back's not against the wall as much probably if it doesn't happen. So, I don't think you go back in time and change anything. But if you were going to just like be in the moment, not knowing how it was all going to work out.
Yeah,
you would just buy your letter and sit back down.
For all you future Survivor players that are going to play this game, yeah, I would just buy the letter and go home. But between you and me, Rob, every single time I would do the exact same thing, except for I would not give my word and I would keep the advantage.
Yeah.
For sure.
That would be very exciting.
Yeah. So, if we got some more auctions coming up in Mike's future, we may see some more craziness.
If they do an auction in Second Chance, I think you're going to see like a couple people, three people like getting food at that auction, and then everybody else is, it's
so. Do they even do an auction in Second Chance? Well, they have to, right? Because they've done it every year.
Here's the thing: I wonder. Could you do like the first? Okay, first thing, advantage, and then do the auction after that. But then it's like, okay, and then we're gonna bid on this. Like maybe you could do it like, here's the advantage, and then all the other food items that are gonna be.
Well, they gotta build up. Here's where Survivor players, future Survivor players, would be really smart to be able to trick Jeff and CBS.
Yeah.
Go into it when you hit the beach day one. Just be like, if any of us make the auction, like $100 is what the advantage is gonna go for. Everybody save $100 and then
you
buy food.
Yeah, but it's the same sort of prisoner's dilemma that you have. It's like, okay, everybody's going to say, okay, all right, sure, $100. All right, great, great, great.
Well,
and then some Mike Holloway is going to be like, 120,
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm telling everybody
there's
that.
There's no honor among thieves. That's the issue here.
Well, everybody's out there trying to steal $1 million out of everybody else's hands. So I guess there's not really... I mean, would you classify the game of Survivor as an honorable game?
No. The thing is, though, if you're such a scoundrel, though, you're not going to come back and be able to win people's votes at the end.
Russell Hands.
Yes. And so that's really where the beauty in the game lies, where, Dan Foley talks about this thing. I think it might be in one of his secret scenes. I'm not sure if it was in the episode, but he's like, what Mike did was lying. There's bluffing and there's lying. He lied. And, that's the sort of line that you have to walk with this stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different scale of what's right and what's wrong. Like to somebody else, to somebody who is a, real gamer that's out there, they're like, yeah, that was a good move. Tip the cap to Mike. Other people are like, how could Mike do that to me? He was my friend.
I think by giving, like actually buying the letter, it did buy me some goodwill on the jury in the end, because I think that they did Maybe it didn't.
And then this was compounded then after the auction, because then you come home and you blow up Rodney there. And this was, I think in some ways, this was worse than what you actually did, because it really made everybody mad.
You better relax, bro.
Yeah, that's where that comes from right there. You better relax, bro. No, you're absolutely right. Sometimes.
And I feel like this is almost like where Sierra and Dan, this was like the point of no return with them, because they're like, can you believe what he did? We had a nice moment and he ruined it.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. I did a lot of harm on that day to my game and the game of Survivor. But here was my thinking going into that, blowing up the whole Rodney spot right there, was we're about to have this really, really intense moment when we read these letters, you know, and if I do this after we read these letters, I'm going to be way more hated than if I do it before we get into it, you know? So I knew I had to do some backtracking because of the auction move. And what people don't know is that, you know, like on the ride back to camp, when we're in the vans, when we're not allowed to talk and we're on lockdown and, you know, everything's pitch black. I had a lot of time to think on the way back from the auction. Yeah.
What were you hoping to accomplish by blowing up Rodney?
I was honestly hoping to show Dan and Sierra that they were really on the bottom and that they would go with me and Jen and Shireen, and that we would have five there.
Right.
And we could just, you know, ride five to the end. You know, because I really did, all the way up until the day that Dan went home, wanted to work with Dan, wanted to work with Sierra, not so much Rodney. Just because at that point in the game, we had already crossed so many boundaries that we knew that we weren't going to be friends in the game anymore. And then also, I didn't respect his game whatsoever, because I thought he was just lazy and sitting around and, you know, just a drain on the camp. You know, cut to what I didn't see until I got home and started watching the edit. This kid's running around making moves like crazy, you know? It was one of those things that not only did I do all the harm at the auction, but then I come back and trying to somehow salvage what I did at the auction and then salvage these two relationships just pushed everybody further away.
And then also, you know, alliance wise, now you're sort of out of the big alliance and now you're in Joe's spot. Now you're, you know, aligned with only the people that are all the way at the bottom in Jen and Shireen. And this is also going to be the moment where the big confrontation happens between Will and Shireen, which we've talked about really to death on the podcast over these last couple of months. This episode aired April 22nd. It's over a month now since that episode. We've been talking about it since it happened, but you played such a big role in that. Can you just take your first person account of what you saw? Cause you weren't there when it started, but then you came running into the scene.
Well, here's how that whole situation went down. We were sitting over there on the ladies' couch, which, you know, was just a big piece of wood that we deemed the ladies' couch, where all the girls would go sit. No guys were allowed up until this point in the game. And so I came over and I was like, hey, can I sit on the ladies' couch with you guys? Because I have nowhere else to go. And they were like, yeah, as long as you don't talk, you know, game talk or strategy. And so we're just laying there and I just go, hey, like, do you think Will had more food or whatever? And so then that leads to the treasure hunt.
Yeah, which I saw in a secret scene. You guys actually went and dug up the treasure chest.
Oh, yeah, and just and instead of recovering it and pulling it out of its hole, we just left it uncovered. Mm-hmm. So that, like, somebody would walk by and see it and go, what the heck? You know, and then get back to camp. It caused more controversy, basically, is what it was. We go and then, you know, we go back to camp. And, you know, Shireen had said a couple things. Well, Jen had said a couple things. And so Will and Rodney and Sierra actually go get the chest. Well, I, once again, I'm Tony spy shacking them.
Yeah.
I'm tracking them, you know, through the trees so I can listen and hear what they're saying. Well, they spot me, you know, like spying on them. And, you know, Will gets even more mad. Well, they're coming back down the beach. And I run from the backside trail into camp. And I tell Jen, I'm like, grab your stuff. Get out of here because it's about to go down. And I was like, where's Shireen? She was like, I think she's down at the cave. So Jen takes off towards the caves. I then, you know, turn around and start, you know, following Jen to the caves. I mean, she's already long gone, but by then. And I get about halfway in between the caves and where camp is, which is a good distance. And I hear this eruption of yelling
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh crap, what is going, they're like, there's nobody at camp to be yelled at. I bet Shireen just walked back into camp. So I turn around and like, I'm literally running down the back path. And it, I mean, I'm getting there and it's more and more loud and some of the personal attacks had started. And I get there in the camp and I just grab Shireen and I'm like, we're out of here. Let's go. Let's get out of here. And Will had said one more thing. I mean, like, we're almost out of camp and Will had said one more thing. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but Will had said one more thing. And that was the moment when Shireen turned around and really stood up for herself and was like, no, you know, like, this is not happening. And then, you know, like, on both sides,
words you got were it too. Said. You got it too in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got it bad.
What did he say that you were, it was something, a bitch, that
yeah,
you were.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I will say this. It was more than just what was said.
Yeah.
But Will legitimately the next day, the very next morning, comes up to me on the beach alone when we're by ourselves and he grabs me, hugs me. He's like, man, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to call you a bitch. You know, I don't think about you that way. You know, blah, blah, you know, not blah, 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 blah. Please. I don't want to undersell his apology because I felt like it was genuine in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so after that point, yeah, I mean, it's not like me and Will had a huge issue. I didn't enjoy or like being a part of what was going on because it took me back to my childhood. It took me back yeah. into the abuse that I went through. And immediately right. I went into, I guess, if you will, protector mode.
Protector.
Yeah, I guess. And
so let me ask you a couple questions about this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that of the people that we've talked to about this, you know, you are some like you're friends, you're good friends with Shireen, but you were there. And I feel like you're somewhat can talk about this, from an impartial
yeah.
perspective. What Will has always maintained, oh, but you didn't hear what she was saying to me. What was Shireen, aggressive towards, Will in this?
I'm going to answer that by saying like, I've heard other people say that Shireen had said, really, really negative comments about Dan and Will before,
yes.
before this blow up started. Okay. And I spent a lot of time with Shireen.
Yes.
And now I cannot remember. And I remember a lot.
Well, we've got the raw footage right here.
Yes. Yes.
Take
yes.
a look.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no. I cannot remember Shireen ever, saying the things that a lot of people, that some of the people have said that she said. I can't remember her saying those things to me.
Mm-hmm.
After it all happened and transpired, when we're sitting in the caves, you know, I remember hearing Shireen say a couple things. Now, when we were in the moment and it was all going down, there were things said on both parties that were like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I mean, like you can't let Shireen off the hook about the God comments as well, you know, because I mean, she's not attacking the religion, but she's trying to figure out what, you know, why she doesn't have a soul and what all of that means. And, you know, so there, no one in that situation was 100% justifiably right. But it was a very, very, very unfortunate event that took place in a time when, you know, we really are all hungry. And I'm not,
yeah.
not excusing, please don't think that I'm excusing anything that was said or done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
how about this? In your mind, do you feel like Will has done enough on his part to try to make this right?
I believe that Will has definitely apologized. I believe that Will believes in his apology. I don't think that Shireen has accepted it because I don't think that she understands where the apology is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
She really, really, really needs to understand and get closure on why is she
feels
the
like
only
it's just
one.
Lip service. Is that fair?
That's how she feels. I don't think that everyone feels that way,
mm-hmm.
but I think that she feels that way and justifiably so in her mind because she doesn't feel that he's acknowledged the reason for the attack,
mm-hmm.
not the attack. It's the reason. I think that she's more now has moved past it and is willing to let it go and ride, but she wants him to understand like why that was there so that it will never happen again to yeah. anyone else.
And in terms of you and Will, you're good, and you guys were good before the end of, before the game even ended.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Me,
the point where he's like putting the immunity necklace on you at the final.
Oh wait, no. In the game, you're talking about in the game.
Yeah. Don't end up becoming good until after the game is over.
We were good. Like not, but not like we are now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like I was. It was one of those things, honestly, that I felt like in that situation, that if Will went to the end of the game, there's no way he's ever going to win.
Right.
You know, because of this whole drama that was surrounded with him and Shireen. So I really wasn't good with any of these people except for Mama C, the six. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the six. I really wasn't good with any of these people except for Mama C, because – Rob, they villainized me. They came after me. They made me, you know, like when somebody tells you you're crazy enough, like eventually you're like, am I crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you know, it was really, really tough to be ostracized from the group of people. So coming back after the game was over, you know, we've developed these relationships,
yeah,
you know, and really strong relationships.
What was your feeling when Shireen didn't give Will the letter at the reward challenge, or the immunity challenge, where Will says, like,
I was stoked.
Yeah.
I was stoked because Jeff came to me right before that, and Jeff asked me, he said, you know, Mike, how do you feel about this or whatever? And I said, well, honestly, Jeff, if I wasn't in any trouble whatsoever, I would gladly sit out of a challenge too so I could get a reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, so no, like, this is this, there's no, there's no, he's not trading apples for apples here. He's trading, you know, an apple for a busted up old ripe banana.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you can't, you had no offense, Will, but you had no chance in that competition whatsoever.
Right.
You know, so, I mean,
you know,
yeah.
It's one thing to like, look at this competition. Like, yeah, I'm okay. All right, here, Jeff, let me tell you what I'm going to do here today. I'm not going to play for immunity, but you know, I'd like a sandwich. I'd like this. I'd like that. I think it's a dangerous precedent, and I like the way that the show handled it. Okay. If everybody else is cool with that, then
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. And you know, that was really Shireen's.
Did you consider raising your hand?
No, because the slight wasn't against me.
Okay.
I mean, it was to a certain extent, but you know, that was her moment. To if you feel this strongly about it, then this is your moment to, you know, raise your hand and deal with it however you want to deal with it. But I didn't agree with it. That's for sure. I would have been pissed if he would have got his letters.
Yeah.
Because he didn't buy them.
So this is where the run really starts for you.
Yes.
You win the immunity here. And then this is going to be where.
My second favorite challenge, by the way.
Yeah.
The ball with the tongs.
Okay. Yeah.
It's such a fun challenge to run.
Yeah. They do like a variation of that, I think, in China, where it's like with two people, like with pool cues,
yeah,
with like a different thing. And so they end up with you getting the immunity, and then they're going to end up going with a 3-3-3, it looks like it's going to be a 3-3-3 thing, but it ends up, you guys end up voting for Jen there also,
to
right?
To make sure that Shireen stayed in the game, because Jen was ready to go.
Okay, she was ready to go. All right, so Jen goes out here. Now we're down to the final eight, and here we are with, this is Survivor Russian Roulette. Okay? And this is now where this is this big move that happens in the season, or this big bluff, which ultimately ends up happening in this season. And I'm trying to, is there anything else before we get to that vote that you want to touch on there at final eight? It's just you and Shireen are left.
Well, the only thing that the pleading to Dan, you know what I mean? Like, hey, like, come be on our side, you know, like you and Sierra come. Help us out on this side, you know, but yeah, that's about it. Just a lot of pleading.
Yeah. Okay. So we end up with going to the tribal council, and the six are going to go ahead, and there's some concern there because they think that you could have the idol, right?
They're going to split the vote regardless, just in case somebody has one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and so this is going to be screwed up because you end up winning the immunity, and they have the co-ed immunity challenge where this is, of course, where Rodney is hanging on there, and Dan is trying to give him some support, and that was one of my favorite moments from this season, right?
Play the clip, dude. Play the clip. Please tell me you have it.
And we are now down to two men.
He may need it, but you want it. You want it, baby.
Both guys are feeling it. That we know.
You know the shoulders, that's nice. You love it.
Dan giving Rodney a lot of encouragement.
Dedication, motivation, baby, huh?
Rodney's bag dropping a little more.
That's it. Stretch him out. Hell yeah.
Sweat dripping off both guys. Rodney working on that grip. Rodney still in this.
Come on, baby. He's twitching, dude. He's twitching. You got it, baby. You got it. Angel, move your shoulder.
Rodney going back down into that crouch, looking for some relief somewhere. Got to dig in now.
Don't look at him. Just focus. Dig in and hold.
Rodney straining, giving everything he has.
That's my favorite part. The dun 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 dun. Foom, foom.
Yeah. All right. So you end up winning the immunity, and Carolyn also ends up winning an immunity there.
Yeah, good job on Carolyn. Holy smokes.
Yeah, good job there. She wins the women's immunity necklace. Yeah. When I did my exit interview with Rodney, he basically did that in his Dan impression. Very funny. he's really a talented
so
guy.
So funny.
And so you have the immunity here. And so that's sort of, they don't have to do the vote split anymore. They're going to put the votes on Shireen, but this plays into your hands because you're like, okay, well, you're gonna, if we're gonna play the idol here, then potentially they have to vote out one of their own.
Right.
So at what point just did you know this was what you were gonna do? Did you include Shireen in the planning?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about it all day, and I knew there was no way I was giving my idol, but I thought they're gonna need to know that I have the idol.
Mm-hmm.
So I can use that later on in the game to force them to do other things.
And you mentioned this earlier, but the Malcolm thing with the three amigos was very much in your mind, right?
Very, very, very much in my mind.
Because what did they do wrong?
Well, okay, here's what Malcolm did wrong. Or the three amigos. They should have instead
or
of or Malcolm. love you, Malcolm.
With all due respect to Eddie and Renald. Yes.
Right. Because Malcolm was the one with the power and the idols there. But Reynolds had the immunity necklace, correct?
Yes, I think so.
I think we're right on that. So here's what I feel like they possibly could have done. Instead of just saying we're going to go just for Philip, make other people in that tribal council uncomfortable. Yo, I'm throwing some votes some other ways too. Like, Philip's not, because then the other six that were at that, or five at that point.
I think it was six.
Say, okay, the other six that were at that point, they got a free pass, that tribal council.
It's like, worst case scenario, what? Philip goes home. That's a win-win.
It's a win-win. So, my thought and my strategy in that was, I've been gunning, everyone knows I'm gunning for Tyler. I'm coming for you, Tyler. But my strategy was like, if I can make Tyler feel uncomfortable and maybe one more other person feel uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
Then we may get a crazy vote here. And who knows what's going to happen? Maybe Shireen will stay and maybe I'll get to keep my idol as well.
A lot of people have said, you know, to sort of Monday morning quarterback this, what if you would have given Shireen the idol before you went to tribal council and had her stand up and say, hey, check out, I got the idol tonight, so I'm safe.
Talk to production about that because that's what I wanted to do originally.
Yes.
And their fear was if she somehow gets voted out with it in her possession, then the idol goes with her.
Okay. So could she walk in and then before the votes say, before the votes are read, I'm not going to play this. I'm going to hand this back to Mike. Could she do that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess at that point, she could have done
that. But you're kind of on the hook there, where if you give it to her and she doesn't give it back to you, I mean, then
what if she plays it?
What if she plays it? I mean, then we're talking about her like it. This is like an Eric Reichenbach thing now,
right?
Where if they put the votes on her and she says, Jeff, I just want to say I will not be playing the idol. Mike, thank you for letting me borrow this. Shireen, the tribe has spoken. I think then we're talking about Shireen, one of the dumbest moves of all time.
Yeah.
She had immunity. So that's a big burden on you of like letting her borrow your immunity idol to then get eliminated, get voted out. Like, that's tough.
Yeah, no, you know, the idol was mine.
Yeah.
And I knew at some point in the game to stay in the game, I was going to have to use it. Or I thought that in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you're not going to win all of them. You know, that's what I thought. And so, I mean, sure enough, I mean, the very next challenge, which is a back-to-back grip, a back-to-back endurance challenge, which sucks anyways because my hands. The thing about this, Rob, this was so funny. 3 weeks ago, and this is no joke, 3 weeks ago, I just got feeling back in my index finger on my right hand and on my thumb from holding on to that bag challenge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my actual whole right index finger was completely numb for 6-7 months and just got the feeling back into it. So the very next challenge that we go to is a whole nother grip challenge. And that morning, not to make excuses, because Carolyn crushed that challenge, the one where we're holding onto the rope over the water.
Right.
I reach into the fire to move a log. Well, the bottom side of this log, like an idiot, me, talking about me, was still hot. It had, you know, like part of it had burned that I didn't see. And I reached down to grab it, and I got this crazy-ass scar on my pinky, you know, where I'd...
Yeah.
And then it was that morning, you know, of that challenge. So... that particular challenge was definitely not designed for me to win. But thank God I had the idol.
Yeah. All right. So you walk out of that tribal council. Shireen goes home, but Dan still got two votes.
Dan still got two votes.
And so after this is over, like there's a lot of the onus on Dan here of that Dan has to do something different because he's seen the light of people are voting for him, but there's a very forgiving part of Dan about this, but in what was your pitch to Dan at that point of what he should be doing?
Oh my gosh, this is a really for
with
me.
You
it's
left
funny.
With the six,
right? Well, this is really funny for me. Maybe not really funny, but I thought it was funny. Before this, I had told Dan. I said we were on the back path, and I go, Dan, look at this tree, and he looks at this tree, and I go, look at this rock, and he looks at this rock, and I go, look at that tree, and I go, what did I tell you to look at? He was like, that tree, that rock, that tree, and I go, this is the moment right here where you lost the game. You're going out sixth and Sierra's going out fifth, and there's nothing you can do about it because you had an opportunity to change the game. You still do have an opportunity to change the game, but you're unwilling to break your mode of thinking. Well, Mike, I can't go with you. You know, you're like your public number in enemy number one, and you know, nobody wants to go to the end with you. You're going to win hands down if you go to the end, you know? And so I understand the mentality of it, but if you have a guy that's on a season that is winning, you know, and you don't have the forethought to know that he's going to win all the way. But I would be more inclined to, you know, like, well, I guess actually I wouldn't be because, you know, I got rid of Joe. So there goes my argument.
Yeah, I actually kind of felt like Dan was in a little bit of a rock and a hard place with, like, he kind of knew he was on the bottom of things, but going with you wasn't necessarily, like, he could have gone to the end and lost to you.
Right.
Or he could have, you know, gone in a different direction. So for Dan, I don't really know what else, you know, him and Sierra were supposed to do because you're such a jury threat also of that. And then you've won and you have people that like you that are on the jury. So they're really in a tough spot. I feel like Carolyn is the one person who could have changed things up. And this is going to be the vote where she's going to end up voting out Tyler. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like it was a mistake for her to take out Tyler.
For sure.
For two ways. One, Tyler was her trusted ally. And Tyler, I don't think, was going to screw over Carolyn. And if he was, it wasn't going to come right at this point. So Tyler was a guy who gave you a run for your money on a couple of challenges. And of this field, I feel like Tyler is the biggest threat to stopping you win immunity. Like, I feel like the worst case scenario for Carolyn is Mike never loses immunity again, and I have to go up against him in the final three, where I know she feels like I'll probably lose to Tyler if I don't vote out Tyler, but I feel like Tyler has a shot to beat you, but Tyler doesn't have a shot to win every immunity. Mm. So Tyler's going to be vulnerable along the way also. So this is that vote where, you know, you're going to be able to play your immunity idol. She's going to end up voting to take out Tyler.
Her and Sierra both, yeah.
Yeah. And this is when your votes get nullified. These four guys end up voting for you. I mean, is that just spitting into the wind there of, like, they know you're going to play the idol?
Well, I mean, we fast-tracked over, you know, Rodney putting on a fake performance about how he wants to go home.
Oh, this was Rodney's birthday?
Yeah, this was Rodney's birthday.
His damn birthday.
His damn birthday. So So yeah, basically, you know, we got back from that, and you know, he's crying about his birthday.
My birthday. You know what I mean? It's my damn birthday.
So, you know, and what they're trying to do in this situation, or what Rodney's trying to do in this situation, is get me to believe.
Which you saw through, and kudos to you that you were like, yeah, okay, I know what's going on here.
Well, and the funny thing is when we're sitting there in the shelter, I'm like, dude, like, I would totally keep you now. You know, I mean, like, you want to quit? That means you're not going to play. That means you're no threat. But then again, here we go again with prove your loyalty to me. Because I grabbed Sierra and Carolyn. And we were having a conversation, and I told him, I said, look, I am unsafe tonight going into this tribal council. I am not in a good position. I am playing my idol 1,000,000%, and I'm voting for Tyler. If you two want to work with me and have a final three deal with me at the end of it, you're going to have to prove it tonight. You're going to have to write Tyler's name down, and you're going to have to put something on the vote.
This is what you said to Carol and Mamacy.
Carolyn and Sierra.
Sorry, Carolyn and Sierra.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, you're going to have to put something on the vote that lets me know that you voted for Tyler. And then again, you know, if you're thinking from Carolyn and Sierra's perspective, it's either me going home or it's Tyler going home. So neither one of them are going home. They make it another day. Plus, Tyler's the only one that knows about Mama C's idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I guess they felt like there's two people who are big threats to win the game, Mike and Tyler. At least let's get rid of one of them here. And then there's a chance that Mike doesn't win immunities the rest of the way and we get rid of Mike down the road.
Well, for 9 days, I'm campaigning to the whole tribe about getting Tyler out.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't nitpick it too much. You have immunity. Somebody's got to go. What are you going to do? But, you know, it does. It ends up sort of being, you know, in the same way, it's great for you because that's, do you agree Tyler is the biggest threat to you to beat you in some of these challenges?
For sure. But think about it this way. If Carolyn doesn't have immunity there, Carolyn goes home that night.
Mm-hmm.
They all vote Carolyn.
Yeah.
Including Tyler.
Right.
Without telling her that he's voting for her.
Okay. All right, so then we get down to the final six here, and this is another spot where you barely squeak out this immunity, and this ends up where the vote where Dan ends up going home because Carolyn plays her idol.
Yes, yes, that was a fun tribal council that night.
Yeah, why was it so fun?
This is going to sound so bad. Because Dan and I, over the past 2 days before this tribal council, had really started the bickering stage of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the little nitpicky, I mean, just little nitpicky details here and there.
And he talked about in the episode about how, like, this guy has some ego to come to me.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to save me.
Well, and I mean, I didn't know 100% that Carolyn had her idol, but I was really, really, really strongly felt like she was the only white collar left.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't seen their idol come out. So, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4 that she has or should have their idol. So, you know, I went to her and was just like, look, you're going home. You better play your idol tonight. I said, you better play your idol for either you or Sierra. Because
mm-hmm.
one of the two of you are going home because the boys are all voting together. And I mean, I really did like try to point out every of the little small nonverbal communication to people to let
like,
people
look
know.
At the shelter. Look at those guys. They're sleeping.
Right. You know, I mean, and that was a little page taken out of Boston Rob's book where it's like, who's sleeping by who in the shelter? Well, I don't really subscribe to that BR rule because sometimes people are just cold and they want to sleep next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular pointing that out, I thought was pretty big because, you know, Dan was just, you know, laid out, passed out in the shelter. And here we are going to tribal council an hour and a half. And I mean, if you're the person going home, you're probably going to be up scrambling for that hour and a half.
Yeah. Unless you're being blindsided.
Unless you get blindsided.
Yeah. All right. So Dan ends up using the vote advantage. How much did you know about the vote advantage at this point?
The night when we went back from Tyler going home, that's whenever Carolyn opened up and started telling me stuff about the access.
That's in the episode too. Yeah.
And that's the first time I knew about the advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally, you know how it is when you get back from tribal, you're emotionally spent already. You know, mm-hmm. you're tired. You want to go to bed. And Carolyn tells me about it, and for some reason, my mind would not wrap around the information.
Yeah.
Like I was like, what do you mean an extra vote? Like. I don't understand.
Right.
You know, so it took me a minute to understand it. And then once I understood what it was, I was like, oh crap, man, that thing's that's a pretty good advantage, especially where we're at in numbers right now.
Mm-hmm. And so for Dan to go home at that point, why did you want to see Dan be the person that goes out at Final Six?
Well, that's whenever it started. I went to Dan to see if I could work with him one more time. And, you know, the conversation went bad. We were both kind of uppity. So the conversation didn't go good. And at that point, as soon as, you know, he kind of just, you know, spit in my face, I was like, all right, well, I'm officially done with the blue collars. You all turned on me. Mm-hmm. None of you are going to make it to the end if I'm sitting there.
Because from what I've understood from things you've said, you know, since the end of the game, you feel like Rodney is the biggest threat. Well, why not have you and Carolyn vote for Rodney at that tribal council?
Well, because at that point in the game, and this is the thing that you're seeing after the game, a lot of people are like, oh, man, you know, Rodney was a big threat, big threat, big threat. Well, I don't really think that he was perceived like that in the game.
But was Dan the biggest threat, or because Dan has the advantage?
Okay. His advantage was the biggest threat.
Got it.
You know, so I didn't, and I would like to just clarify something really fast. I didn't truly appreciate Rodney's game until I watched it on TV, mm-hmm. because I just thought he was being lazy. He fooled me in that aspect. You know, he didn't fool me in the knowing what he was trying to do, with whom he was trying to do it with. But, you know, I didn't see how much of a mover and a shaker he was till the edit.
Hustler. Okay. So this is then when the finale starts and we have these votes for Carolyn and the episode starts off and they leave you alone and they go into the you're on the hammock and you're just like, really, really, Carolyn, you're going to go back and, you know, huddle up with them. And in their huddle, she's like, you guys all voted for me. Who was the other vote? And they're like, yeah, Mike was the only other person that didn't vote for you. Like, even they're telling you, yeah, Mike's the only ones that's not voting for you.
Yeah.
We all voted for you. But she goes back with him. Now, again, in not being emotional, good job on Carolyn.
Contingency
in that
plan.
Yeah, that she's not like being an emotional player and being like, you know what, you know, screw you guys. And she's not doing any of. Yeah, she's going to, you know, continue to work with them because they still have the numbers. On their side. Yep. But this is when we're going to get to this challenge and you're ultimately going to win a reward challenge at Final Five. A little bit unorthodox reward
see my
challenge.
Mama.
Yeah, and you got to see your mom and you got an advantage in that final. I'm sorry, not the final thing. In the Final Five immunity challenge.
Yeah, it was huge, huge advantage.
Yeah.
And mom killed it. You know, I mean, like she really, really did help me. I know in the edit led you to believe that you know, she beside herself and she really was. But the thing that I've tried to explain to her post game was, Mom, you helped me get that first medallion so fast, mm-hmm. that I really feel like it put pressure on all the other players because they thought I was going to finish the whole maze that fast.
Yeah.
You know, where they were struggling.
Yeah. Cause I was talking with my mom about the episode. She was like, yeah, Mike's mom came out there and then, it seemed like they didn't even like do anything.
Yeah.
She was so upset about it. Yeah. And she has the confessional and she was like, you know, I know. And he said, I did a good job, but I know I let him down.
She in no way, shape, form let me down. The cool thing. And I said this on a couple other, exit interviews. The cool thing that about my mom was when she came out there, she gave me everything that I needed in that moment. Mm-hmm. Love, you know, banter, the back and forth, you know, the back massages. But the cool here was the really cool thing, and I wish they kind of would have showed this. My mom grabbed each one of these people that had, you know, like basically ostracized me. And she took them aside and told them stories that their families had all shared at dinner and stuff about them.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and hugged on them. And then before every single one of them she came back with, she sat there and prayed over them and for them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I mean, that's the stock that I come from.
Mm-hmm.
That's that woman, my mom, held in the most utmost regard in my opinion, because she just loves people, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what a great attribute to have as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So this, you know, ended up garnering you some goodwill. And also I felt like it was a really big thing. We touched on this in the exit interview that you weren't put in the position to have to pick anybody like, pick one person that's going to get to see their loved one. And then, you know, you didn't have to say like, all right, let me pick Carolyn, and she, and then you know, Will is cursing at you, and Rodney is cursing at you. Sierra's pissed at you, so you didn't have to get any blood on your hands either.
Well, I think the way they rectified that situation was that they threw the advantage in there with it.
Yeah,
and the advantage was actually a picnic that we sat, you know, probably two football fields away from the actual maze where you couldn't see in the maze. But the maze was in the background, and we got the picnic and then the 30 minutes.
Yeah, but you got off easy because, like, there are people like Brenda, who in Survivor Karamoan, she wins the family advantage. And then she picks, I think she picks Dawn. And then they get, like, add to that, like, okay, or you could let everybody else have their thing, or you could give up yours. And now, you like, a lot of
her
times...
Her and Don got screwed.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of times, this can put a lot of blood on your hands winning this family visit. Where
well,
you
I would
people.
Have gotten more blood on my hands if I would have gotten to pick people.
Yeah.
Because I would have told Jeff that me and my mom were going to go enjoy the dinner for however many people it was for.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would have gotten even more blood on my hands at that particular point, because that's the way I felt in the game at that moment.
Okay, well... Yeah, well, that definitely would have gotten blood on your hands. But you actually, you know, dodged. Not that the bullseye could have been bigger on your back, but you didn't have to deal with any of that blowback.
I mean, season 29, everybody gives their rewards away and they go home the next, not everybody, but for the most part, they gave their reward away and they went. Giving a reward away in the game of Survivor, in my opinion, is absolutely stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, that good feeling is gone in 5 minutes. You know, because now the game has started all over again and people are at this reward and they're eating and they're, you know, getting stronger for later in the game, you know, and then they come back from the reward that they've been on with people and they seemingly vote out the person that.
Right. It worked for some people. Right. It did not work for other people. Natalie made it work well for her. Jeremy, it did not work out for her.
Right.
Oh, or
John.
Jeremy did not work out for him. Did not work out for a lot of people. Natalie was the only one that made it work for her in the
and
time.
She's
that
our
she
what?
Did. Miss Survivor.
And winner.
Yes.
Come on.
Well, which is bigger?
Ding. Yeah. Miss Survivor is bigger than Survivor. Are you kidding me? Like, if you have to put a Miss in front of it, it's way bigger than the actual show.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So you end up winning that immunity in the blindfold maze, which I did in the Amazon.
Can we get a high five on that?
I hate that challenge. Yeah, give Jen Brasta a high five on that. All right, so you guys are, you know, maze brother and sister.
There
all right,
go.
So you guys get down to this Final Four challenge, and that was a pretty epic Final Four challenge that you guys had to do.
Man, I'll tell
was
you.
Was anybody else close? The finale is all kind of a blur to me. Yeah, no, right? It was a challenge, you know.
The editing let it to believe that it was a little bit, in my opinion. Now I was there and you're
well,
in
Carolyn
the mix.
Carolyn was doing the puzzle at the same time you were, right?
Right. She was still like five pieces away by the time that.
It was not a total blowout.
No. Like I blew her out in the physical part of it, but she did catch up a little bit on the puzzle part of it. And that's the reason Sierra had to go home.
Yeah.
It's because Sierra was really good at puzzles.
Yeah. And we touched on some of that in the exit interview of Sierra versus Mama C, and then ultimately the decision to make the fire. The thing
well,
that
Sierra's vote. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to hear. We'll talk to me about Sierra, and I'll talk about the Final Four stuff.
Oh well, the Sierra vote. You know, like Rodney was going home that night.
Yeah.
And I'd been thinking about it for about 2 hours, and I went on my interview, my walk. And I started just hashing out the reasons to keep Rodney. And I started hashing out the reasons to keep Sierra. And every time I would make a point about Rodney, it just illuminated in my head more and more reason why Sierra had to go. Because everybody knows how, not everybody, but for the most part, the last challenge of Survivor is some type of obstacle course and then a puzzle. And so I knew that I could get through the obstacle course pretty fast. But it was going to take me a little bit on the puzzle because I'm not the brightest guy in the room. I mean, you are the smartest player to never win Survivor. Yeah.
Well,
it sucks to me, Caps.
Faint phrase, yeah. That made me buzz you again.
But you know, it was one of those things that I ran back into camp. I grabbed Rodney, went to the back of camp, and was like, "Yo, it's either you or Sierra tonight because the girls want to vote you." And you guys want to vote, you know, somebody, Carolyn or whatever you guys are thinking about doing. Well, vote Sierra, go tell Will to vote Sierra, and Sierra goes home And, you know, we lived to go another day, but I needed Sierra out. And also I needed Mama C to stay because there was no way I was going to get the fire challenge had I not had another vote voting with me. And yeah. From the time that Tyler went home, Mama C voted with me the rest of the game.
So the fire challenge, and we touched on this in the exit interview, but you know, I know it was important for you for a couple of reasons, but you know, in the show you said that it was more about that you didn't think Rodney deserved to be there. So I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around, like, I feel like there's a lot of different things that have come up, and maybe it's some combination of everything, but was it for you more about Rodney deserving it or Rodney the threat?
In that point in time in the game, it was not Rodney the threat.
Yeah.
Now, looking back and watching it, yeah.
It turned out to be a good thing.
It turned out to be a really good thing. But I had told every single person on that jury way before they even went home that I would not go to the end with Rodney.
Okay.
That I just wouldn't do it because I won't work with him because he doesn't work around camp and all that stuff, you know, and plus we had beef. So I had told everybody that, no, I'm not taking Rodney the end. And something that they showed at one of the tribal councils was, I was like, you people, and I pointed to the jury, I go, you people brought these people here. I didn't. This is your work. This is what you did. And, I thought that was a good point because it was like, yo, I'm one person over here affecting the vote every single time, but I'm throwing it off onto you guys so that hopefully, you know, you'll see Mike's not the one that's pulling the goats to the end. He's just working with what he had to work with.
Okay. Now we know how the Carolyn and Rodney thing ends up turning out. Were you hurt by the things that Rodney said in the episode in terms of like voting you out and calling you a redneck and stuff like that?
Oh no, man. Here's the thing. And I've said this to a lot of the writers and stuff about Survivor. It was a game,
yeah.
You know, and whatever people said in the game, whatever to me personally, not, this is not a blanket statement, but whatever people said to me in the game or writers wrote about after the game, because you guys were only seeing, or the media is only seeing what the edit's allowing you to see. I have no hard feelings, no bitterness towards anybody, you know, because I mean, we were out there playing a cutthroat game and we're laughing the whole time we're walking to tribal council ready to cut somebody's throat.
Okay, talk to me about the final tribal council, because the final tribal council, at least from what we saw on TV, was odd. It seemed like, you know, there was no opening statements, no closing statements. The questions seemed very short, and with the exception of then the whole thing, Dan was up there for a long time. Shireen was up there for a long time. So what do we need to know about the final tribal council that wasn't in the edit?
Wow. Tyler had a couple really funny comments. Haley had a,
well, what did Tyler say that was funny?
There was one thing that he said. He was like, I think I would rather go back there and stab myself in the eye with this pen than vote any of your names, than write any of your names.
Yeah, that sounds bitter though.
No, but it was how he said it.
Yeah.
It got a laugh from everybody. And we even as the final three laughed, you know, because I mean, it wasn't that he was bitter. He was just making a point. Yeah. And then Haley asked a very, very, very good question to me that Jeff Probst had to repurpose. He had to explain to me Haley's question because Haley's way smarter than me. And, I didn't catch it the first time, but she had asked a question along the lines of, say you run into an elevator and there's this big movie producer there. Tyler Perry's there. And you've got to sell him your script of, you know, Survivor and why you won Survivor. So, you know, set the scene.
Survivor the movie,
Mike's game, I guess, whatever. And man, I butchered it. I mean, killed it. And just like, okay, Mike, I think this is what Haley is asking.
Don't go Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah. You're not selling any scripts this week, Mike. So then I reset, you know, I brought in this Western theme where, you know, like I was the Lone Ranger and I had a six shooter and I took out the Alliance of Six. You know, it's just, I thought it was a really, really intuitive question. And then, you know, also Dan asked a really, really good question as well. It was like, why, it's along the same premise of, you know, tell me why the other person, you know, wins a million. It's that question.
Yeah.
And why you don't deserve it. But he phrased it way more elegantly?
Good question.
Yeah. So it really is a good question, you know, because you're making the person that's sitting there answering it throw themselves under the bus.
Good TV. Yeah.
What else was in Final Tribal that you, okay, so you saw the Jen Brown, you saw Shireen, you saw Joe, Tyler, Rodney, God love you, Rodney. He was up there like an hour, Rodney was, with his questions and everything. But Sierra, no, I mean, I think Final Tribal was a pretty good representation of what happened for the most part. You know, I mean, well, walking into it, you know, super nervous, super, super nervous, but didn't feel like I didn't deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. I really felt like I deserved to be there, and I really felt like that they were going to end up, in my opinion, making the right decision, which was voting for me to win.
All right. Then Final Tribal Council happens. Everybody goes and votes, and then there's that moment where they say, like, all right, and that's a wrap, and everybody comes out. And what was the vibe to you from everybody else? Like, who's coming up? Who's hugging you? Who's still cold to you after that moment happens at in the taping of the Final Tribal Council?
Everybody came up to me and like hugged
Dan,
me.
Dan is good with you.
Dan was first.
Okay, Dan was first. You guys had that moment. Everybody else is cool with you.
It was Dan and Tyler. Dan went first.
Everybody had voted for you to win the game. So I guess at that point, it
was right, good. Right. So Dan and Tyler were the first two to come up, and then I made a complete point. But see, I will tell you something funny about Final Tribal that never made the edit. So we had collected all the stuff from camp, you know, and brought it back. Well, Dan had left his belt. Rodney had left some shorts. You know, other people had left little trinkets and stuff there. So, like, when we walked into Final Tribal and everybody walked in, like, we're throwing their stuff to them. We're like, hey, you left this. Hey, you left. Yeah, we couldn't talk, obviously, to them. But we, you know, just threw some various things to them.
Yeah.
But the only person really that didn't come up to congratulate me, but, you know, hey, cool being on the season was Rodney. And I mean, he was, you know, understandably very, very, very upset with, you know, a lot of things that had happened in the fire making challenge. He was very, you know, hurt that, you know, that he felt like, you know, I'd taken $1 million out of his hand.
Miserable.
And, you know, it wasn't until months. And I'm not joking you whenever I tell you, it wasn't until months after we had finished rapping. And probably about 5,000 phone calls that had never been returned.
Mm-hmm.
That finally Rodney texted me one day.
Yeah.
And that started the healing process in our relationship. And I mean, I tell you what, man, me and Rodney are really good.
Good.
Like really, really good.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was an epic battle, in my opinion. Other people may not see it this way. But in my opinion, it was an epic, epic battle that started on day 30. I mean, it started on day one and ended on day 38. And it was like, to be really, really gross, and I'm sure all the female listeners of the podcast are going to be happy to hear this, but it was like a zit that needed to be popped, and one of us was going to be popped.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I thought that could have gone a lot worse.
Oh, no.
Okay. Not. All right. So I've got some questions here for you from the listeners of the podcast.
You're all right. Let's do this. Right,
let's jump into some of these questions. And thank you for taking us through the whole story of, you know, season 30.
Man, I mean, thank you so much for giving me the platform to tell my side of it.
Yeah. Well, I always like to do this with the winner and just talk about like that winner's journey of what it was like through, you know, through all the twists and turns and a million different things that could go wrong.
Yeah. Well, I hope we didn't bore you guys.
Well, they wouldn't be here. So they'd turn it off if they were bored. So these are all the people that were interested. Okay. Let's take a couple of questions, and a lot of these we ended up covering. So let's start with Ryan German, who wants to know, I'd like to hear a detailed tutorial on how to do the happy dance.
All right, Ryan, here's what you do. You stand up straight. You put your two arms by your side. You stick out your index finger, one pointing opposite of the other one. And you do like you're going to kind of do the hula hoop. And you bend your knees, and then I'm sitting here looking at Rob
I'm listening to the instructions. I'm trying to do it.
And then you just do the hula hoop, Ryan. So get after it. Send us a video, and we'll critique it.
Okay. Can you give us a sound drop of like do the happy dance?
When you do something right, baby, you know what we do? We do the happy dance. We do the happy dance.
All right. And Mike actually did it. So there you go. Great job, Mike. All right. William McQuaid wants to know, can we hear your best Rodney impression?
You better relax, William. You better relax.
You better relax, bro.
He's really good at these impressions that he was doing. Did you know he was doing you while you were out there?
Everybody was doing me when I was out there. My voice, God love my voice, because I don't. It's one of those things that it's just...
I barely attempt it anymore just because I don't want to throw out my voice doing your voice.
Yeah, yeah. I throw out my own voice doing my voice.
Yeah.
Obviously.
One of the things we were doing the other day, you know, all this talk about Survivor the movie, I feel like that you do have a pretty good movie trailer voice. Could you give us a movie trailer for the Survivor movie?
It's a story about a man who has defied all odds to make it to the end. Tune in on Wednesday night's Survivor to see the ultimate social experiment take place live in your living room.
That's pretty good.
I wish we could hear the playback on it, actually. Because I feel like a big old douchebag right there.
No, that was good. That was good. All right. So let's see. How about this is from Patrick Lair, who wants to say, going into the game, did you think that you would be as amazing at the challenges as you ultimately were?
Patrick, I'll answer this by saying, for a year and a half before I actually knew I was going on Survivor, I practiced certain things every single day for at least an hour or 2 hours. I would call it my Survivor training. And so I would go run on curbs, and I would, you know, take these different paths whenever I'd be working out in the oil field, that would be like going up this steep mountain, and I would be kind of having to like jump from like a rock to a rock, or, you know, I swam a mile every single day. And the whole time, Rob, it was crazy because I would be in the midst of 110 degree weather, and I'm running, you know, down this caliche road, dying, you know, like 3 or 4 miles into the run. And I kept thinking, this sucks. Just quit, dude. Just quit. You don't have to do this anymore. And I would always come back to this one moment. And I said to myself, when you win that $1 million check, when you get the title of sole survivor, look on these moments back here, because this is where you won the game. Everything else was just played out before you. But the preparation that I took, with not only the physical, but, you know, rewatching seasons, talking strategy with buddies, ultimately coming up with the strategy of throwing the challenges a year before I even went on Survivor, which, so I didn't know that I would be this good at challenges or in that microcosm of that season, that good then at those challenges, but I had a pretty good idea that I was confident in myself enough to know that I could perform well.
This is a question that, a lot of people have come up with. Gary Harbin wants to know, in the final tribal council, it seemed as if you had some difficulty explaining / defending your social game. What would you say about the social aspect of your game now? And do you think you're not getting enough credit in that arena?
I mean, the votes should tell you everything about my social game.
Yeah.
You know, 6-1-1. And I got one vote against me from Rodney, who was mad that I made him do a fire making challenge. Mm-hmm. And then Sierra, who's literally, you know, one of the, you know, closest people from our cast to me now, outside the game, voted for Mama C. Still don't understand that whole vote. Haven't really talked to Sierra about it, actually. That's going to be a fun conversation to have. But I do something a lot whenever I'm talking to people. I try to be self-deprecating more than I do boisterous, because in the earlier parts of my life, I was very conceited. I was very, you know, prideful. And I've worked really, really, really hard to try to not be that way in my life. So in that moment with Tyler, and I've gotten a lot of comments about this, about, you know, why'd you say you suck? You know,
Say you suck to?
Tyler was asking me about my social game.
Oh, okay.
And I went into something and I was like, well, I guess I just didn't do as well as I thought I did. I guess I just suck. Well, you know, I had said similar things throughout the season to people. Well, I guess I just suck or whatever, but not being like flippantly, you know, like really just saying, hey, I blew it here. And so, I mean, I'm bad at it. And so socially, I'm going to be very prideful when I say this. I feel like I played one of the best social games out of all 18 people because
in your season,
in my yeah. season. I mean, you have Dan calling me Teflon Mike because mm-hmm. nothing sticks to me. Yeah. Or that's what he says. And then like, I really did have this crazy, crazy way of getting myself into trouble and then rebounding with people.
Mm-hmm.
And for as crazy as they all, you know, said I was or whatever, you can ask, and I think you could go down the line and you could ask every single one of them. They know how much I care about them as people. Mm-hmm. And that was in the game. Like, you know, a lot of people that have come outside the game. So actually said, you know, she goes, you know, whenever I knew that you won the game, it's like, I saw you interacting with the people, you know, outside of the game. And like, you really make people feel like they're important. And I'm like, so it's not that I'm making them feel that they're important. People are important to me.
Yeah.
And so in the game of Survivor, your social game is
whenever I hear the phrase in the game of Survivor, I can only hear it in the Rodney doing Max Dawson voice.
Oh, do it. Do it. Do it.
In the game of a Survivor, being in the Dirty 30, I don't do Max Dawson. I can only do Rodney.
I'm going to try Max Dawson. In the game of Survivor, my voice cracks too much.
Being a part of this group of people in the Dirty 30, I would have to say that being an impression of Rodney's is a huge moment in my life.
You better relax, bro.
Yeah.
I love.
You better relax, bro.
I love, you know, it's so funny. Rodney's such a ham and has a good time. But on the opposite scale of that, you know, Max Dawson is super intelligent.
You love Max Dawson.
I do love Max Dawson. I think the guy really kind of got the bottom end of the deal here with the second chances, not more so than Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn got screwed, and I'll just say that. But
I mean, you feel like Max got screwed with this?
No, not screwed. Max was going to be in the 10 or 11 spot, and I think that Max knew that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was somewhere on the real, real cut line. Which, you know, I had many talks with Max and was, you know, trying to encourage him. Hey man, let's put positive thinking in this. Let's really, you know, go after this, which he was hardcore.
Yeah. Campaign hard.
Campaign hard. But you know, Max has changed from the Max that you knew and RHAP knew and the mm-hmm. Survivor community knew before Survivor to this Max Dawson that I know now.
New Max.
New Mad Max.
Max 2.
Yeah. Beyond the Thunderdome coming for Survivor season, I don't know, 33. Whatever. Go ahead.
Could we just go back to your game and talking about this? Because I think that the hardest thing that I have with wrapping my head around your game, you know, I keep coming back to Chris and Danny Boatwright.
Yeah.
And those were the two people that were sort of in a similar spot to you were, but your move to the end started from further back, from nine, where those people, I think Chris is really the last person left at seven, and Danny's the last person left at six, right. And they both have to come from that. And there's other people that, you know, are like, have to win the last couple challenges, whether it's you know, Jenna Marasco or Fabio or Bob, and they end up winning, you know, the last couple immunities. Actually, Bob didn't win the last immunity.
Tyson.
But he was controlling the vote.
Right.
Now, so for me, it's really, you know, I think about you and Danny and Chris, but for Danny and Chris, there were times when they weren't protected by immunity that they had to figure something out to stay in the game. And you never had to be in that situation and there was so much of like, well, if Mike doesn't win immunity, he's gone. Do you feel like winning all the immunities actually hurts the way people think about your game because they say, well, that's why he got to the end is because he won all the immunities?
You know, I mean, this is gonna sound really, really ugly when I say this, but, you know, honestly, Rob, I don't really care what people say about my game because I feel like I did something special. And ultimately, my opinion and God's opinion and the people who love me the most in my life, those are the opinions that garnish the most weight, that carry the heaviest load in my life. So I really felt like I went out there and did something special. And that can be, you know, speculated on from here until the end of time. That's not my job to do. What my job was to do was to go out there and play the game. And I went out there and played it. And had one of the most amazing times doing it. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, CBS, Survivor. Lynn Spillman, hello. Penny Lane Clifton, thank you guys. All of you guys that made this dream come true for me. So the public opinion or even the writer's opinion or even, you know, hardcore gamers' opinions don't carry as much weight as, like, say, my friends and family or – you know, like speaking of Danny Boatwright, you know, she reached out 2 days ago and sent me a little message on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, no, just congratulating me on the win. And that means a lot because I know the position that she was in, that she fought through to get to, you know. And so it's been really nice. Some of the people that have reached out, past winners that have reached out and said, hey, man, congratulations. We were really a fan of your game. So the winners' opinions somewhat, you know, have a little bit more.
And now you're on the winner's email chain.
Well, you know, we have our meetings every third Thursday. It's it's the secret Illuminati.
So when's the first one?
It's actually this Thursday.
Oh, good.
I'm hosting it in Texas. That's the thing with the winners. Whenever the next winner comes in, the first Thursday after, they fly all the winners to their
spot. So
it's
spot. Like a whole other Dirty 30.
Yeah, it's a completely different Dirty 30. Dirty 29, actually.
Yeah.
Sandra counts for two.
She counts for two.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Callan Brunson, who says, how did you get Missy to...
And we'll just show up.
Maybe was she there for Rodney's birthday? Was that what was going on, that they were going to give Rodney a cake?
Well, you know, there was a birthday, so the pains were showing up.
Yes.
Or Baylor Wilson.
A lot of people didn't necessarily catch this, but there was Missy with your family. I think a lot of people thought, like, oh, is Mike dating Missy?
No, I'm not dating Missy. We are really, really great friends. We live 20 minutes away from each other. And so coming off of this experience, you know, I needed, you know, somebody to not tell what happened in the game, but relate experiences of, you know, what we went through.
Roger that.
Yeah.
And here's something RHAP community needs to know about Missy. Missy called me about 2 weeks before the finale and said, hey, listen, I'm going to come out to your finale. I'm going to basically take your mom, because I've been through this process. I'm going to take your mom and I'm going to, you know, like, take her to the parties, chauffeur her around when she's ready to go to bed, you know, take her to her hotel, you know, and just be there for your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. That's a really cool friend.
She's really sweet.
Sweet lady. Super sweet lady. And
neat
she
lady.
Did. And by the way, she totally took care of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it wasn't just like she showed up to be on Survivor. Like
we've had a lot of fun with Missy in the last year. And she's been a good sport about everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, she seems like a really, really nice person. And, you know,
she's an amazing
woman. She emailed
me
a couple times.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not number four.
No.
She's... She has her eyes
Roger
set.
Yeah,
she has her eyes set somewhere else. I think anyway. So,
wait, who? Rodney?
Oh no, I hope not. She needs to hold herself to a higher standard.
Oh, come on,
Rodney. You know I love you.
You better relax, bro. Okay. Matt Holtzclaw wants to know how many people wanted a pregame alliance with you for season 31. Okay, so you're in this weird spot that you're in the mix for Second Chance. Are there people that are reaching out to you? Now, you know you're not going, but other people don't know that you're not going.
Right.
And so you're in this sort of a weird spot where people could be reaching out to you and be like, hey, Mike, you know, I'm loving the game. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was definitely contacted by more than half of the cast that is on the show right now.
Okay.
And
that's, you know, and then you have people like, obviously, Joe and Shireen, they know that you already won the game. So this is a lot of people.
Yes. So excluding Joe and Shireen.
Right. Obviously, they're not making a pregame alliance with you because they know you're not going to be there.
Give me an
example. You don't have to name names or anything like that, but just talk me through, like, what do you consider to be, like, people reach out to you? I'm you, and you're what? Like, what's going on? You're getting, like, direct messages? You're getting phone calls?
Both. I would receive, you know, most of the time a follow on Twitter or something like that, and then it would be a direct message or a message on Facebook.
And then were you getting on the phone with people and, like, were you playing it out?
Heck yeah.
Okay, so I'm you.
I get to talk to past survivors, bro.
Yeah, so you be a past survivor, and I'll be you. Okay, I'm not gonna do your voice.
Yeah, don't do my voice.
Yeah.
I'd call, hey Mike, what's going on, man? How are you today?
Good.
Yeah, well, I've just been watching this season and man, you're playing a really, really good game. I can't believe that you don't win.
Believe it.
Actually, my response to that always, I had a patented response and be like, you played the game of Survivor. You know how tough of a game this is to get all the way to the end too. And I would always leave that, at the end.
Whatever.
Who was that?
We don't know. We don't know who that is.
Play it one more time.
Whatever.
Is that Dan Foley? It's not Dan Foley, right?
It doesn't sound like Dan Foley.
All right. So, and then they would say, like, what's up? They're like, hey, so if I'm out there and you're out there, like, maybe, you know, let's go to.
Well, my response to every single one of them was, hey, look, I'm not into pregame alliances. I'm not going to make pregame alliances with you guys. I would love to talk and chat. And that was my way of saying, hey, look, I'm not going to just blatantly work with you from a phone call. But it was also giving them an out to say, oh, I'm not making a pregame alliance either. Well, then why are you calling me? You haven't called me in 38 years.
I want to be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This is from Noah Naman, who says, how does Mike think Shireen and Joe will do on Second Chances? Okay. So who's going further, Joe or Shireen?
You want me to get my winner pick for season 31?
You do whatever you want.
I mean, I'll go ahead and go on record. I think the winner of Survivor Season 31 is Shireen.
Wow.
Winner, chicken dinner.
I mean,
Will says she's the first off.
Me and Will are going to have a bet going.
A good prop bet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I really, really, really think, and I think this is a general consensus of the Survivor community, that a woman will win this season.
I think that's a fair statement to make.
Right. Because you're going to have so many alpha males cutting for each other. And I think here's what I would love to see out of Shireen's game. I would love to see her play from a position of power and not from the bottom, and see if this power goes to her head, or if she's able to use her knowledge as a fan to strategically make moves to get people out of the game that could ultimately beat her.
You know, there's a thing that we talk about where a returning player returns to the season, their second season, with some of the traits of the person that won their season. What aspects of your game do you think Shireen would potentially take with her into Survivor Second Chance?
As stupid as it sounds, love.
Love.
Because, I've loved on that girl so hard and so much. And
you feel like you've built her up in some ways about this?
I think we've built each other up.
Okay.
But
I think that friendship that you guys have, other than this love of Survivor, seemingly little else in common. You know, she's from this Silicon Valley background. You know, you're from
Texas.
The oil fields in Texas, like, you know, two completely disparate worlds that you guys are. You are literally worlds apart.
For real.
And you've had this close friendship that comes out of this game.
Yeah, really.
I mean,
really,
it's really
close.
Wild.
Yeah, really close friendship. Shireen is the only person in our whole cast that has, up to this point, that has specifically flown to Dallas to see me, or Fort Worth, where I live. And I don't take that lightly. That's a huge thing for me. That, you know, you're willing to not only put your time and your life on hold, but you're also willing to spend money to come and spend time with me. But, you know, she She really and truly is such a sweet, sweet person. She's so super intelligent. A lot of times we're sitting there talking and she'll say something. I'll be like, hey, can you dumb that down for me a little bit? You know, cause, you know, she does. She's 90 to nothing. And she's always thinking and strategizing in her real life, not only just Survivor.
Okay. Also, Noah wants to know, did you take Shireen to CrossFit so she could become a challenge beast? Like, was there any sort of like, you know, Rocky and Mickey type stuff where it's like, Shireen, come on, come on.
There like, was
dig
actually.
Dig woman.
Oh my God. Dig woman. I love that.
Dig woman.
There was, and it was really funny because somebody caught us.
Yeah.
In my hometown. Us running and working out, and they turned their car around, came back, took a picture of it, and tweeted it at me and Shireen. They were like, oh my gosh, Mike and Shireen from Survivor are running down the road right here. Yeah, I mean, I would say that we talked strategy. I would say that we worked out. I would say that she is mentally in the best place that she could be, I feel like, for this game.
Okay. And Scott McCulloch.
Can we talk about Joe for a second?
Yeah.
Because we've talked about Shireen like a whole lot. I really think that Joe kind of had this plan of that he was going to go into the game and maybe be a little bit more mean this time around. And I told Joe, I go, the reason that people love you, the reason that you're Joey amazing is because, you know, you are nice to everybody. You know, I said, you don't have to be the quintessential Ken Barbie doll, you know, but you know, don't go out there and just be a jerk to people to begin with, you know, because that's going to hurt you in the long run. I said, be that lovable Joe that we all know and love, because I mean that's really why we call him Joey Amazing, because the kid really is. He's so amazing on so many different aspects and areas that I think going into the game, his biggest problem is going to be the two biggest problems that he's going to have are obviously the physical threat. And then like you and I talked about earlier is that somebody else wanting more camera time, than Joe or, you know, he's the new hot thing and we're going to show you that you're not. Mm-hmm. So I think those are going to be, if Joe can be in an alliance and
I
maybe
feel like the men are going to be, not that psyched about working with Joe. I can definitely see the women saying, let me work with Joe. But I feel like there's not going to be too many guys lining up to, well, let me get in, you know, and start working with Joe and build something long term with Joe.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's going to be more because he'll want to try to do the bro down strategy because it works for him, you know. But I don't think all the other guys are going to want to do the bro down
Vince
strategy.
Vince didn't love Joe.
No. Vince did not like Joe. Well, because he felt threatened. Mm-hmm. You know, by Joe, the alpha male supremacy was there, and Joe ended up, you know, being, I wouldn't say more of an alpha male than Vince, but definitely had the other people on his side believing that for sure. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Or we have more.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have a question for you. Let me ask you this. You've seen how I've played this game.
Yes.
Say down the line somewhere, I did get a second chance to play this game.
Yeah.
What is my strategy going into this?
See, it's going to be tough for you because you're going to be fine in the beginning.
Right.
And I envy that of people who are going to be fine in the beginning, because my whole thing, if I ever played Survivor again, I know I'm not fine in the beginning. The beginning is the worst time for me. I'm fine the longer I get in the game.
Yeah.
But for you, you're going to be fine in the beginning. And the longer you are in the game, the less fine you're probably going to be, because people can say, oh, well, Mike's going to win if he gets to the end. So we got to start to worry about Mike. And I'm really the opposite. People are like, well, we got to get rid of Rob now. And then at a point, they're like, what is he going to win? Immunity? No, forget it.
You won one, right?
I did win one. That's I did win one. Nice. But it was like a quiz. You're going to ring the bell? There you go.
I got it.
So, for you, I think it's just really about just getting your numbers right. Because I don't think you could do again what you did this time.
No way. It's not possible.
Especially against all stars who are going to be, there's going to be other people that are going to be there. So
exactly. You know, I've kind of, if you will,
you've shot your survivor load.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the words I was looking for. You know, doing something, and please take this the right way that I'm not like pumping up myself, but doing something like the five of us have done. Being Terry, Ozzy, Tom, and Colby, you know, and myself. doing something that winning five immunities is there's a reason it hasn't been done in 17 seasons.
And all those guys that you're mentioning have struggled in the second. Not Terry yet. We don't know. We don't have a Terry, but right, Tom struggled second time he comes back.
Colby, the fat man, Superman.
The third time he came out. But second time, they didn't let Colby get near that merge.
Right.
Ozzy is going to be taken out right after the merge in Survivor of Micronesia. So it is definitely a thing that's on people's minds when they come back. So you got to come back. You got to get your numbers
Have to have numbers. And the right numbers. I'm not going to tell you right now what that strategy is because I've been thinking about it.
Yes.
Honestly. But there, I think there's a loophole. That I can find numbers.
And numbers loophole.
Numbers, yeah, exactly. I think there is a way that with what I did on my season that I can get further in the game with the numbers, like you said.
Okay. And Scott McCulloch says, when did you first learn you were going to be eligible for Survivor Second Chance? And after you learned, was there a happy dance knowing that even if you didn't win, you were more likely to get another shot? Or did it start to make you worried? Like,
I never really worried because I didn't, you know, here was one of the biggest cues to me, knowing what happened through the whole season. At the very beginning of the season, Jeff Probst, you know, graciously said that, you know, the winner of this season will possibly go down as being one of the most beloved survivors of all time.
See, and I feel like that did you a little bit of a disservice because I felt like that a lot of people who remembered that he said that felt like at a certain point, like, oh, it's probably going to be Mike if Jeff is saying this about the winner.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it was a nice compliment, but it did take a little bit of the air out of the suspense of the end game of the season.
Very nice compliment. But he also said, you know, this was going to be like one of the greatest seasons ever, which, you know, he hyped it. And then people are like, oh, no, it's not the greatest season ever. So in retrospect, I may not be the most lovable winner, you know, but regardless, if I am that, you know, that's your guys' opinion, not my own. There are much more lovable survivors that I love winners than I think that I would ever be. Mm-hmm. You know, Kim Spradlin, for instance, you know, love her.
The hard thing about all of this, and I think that they didn't do you any favors with this Survivor Second Chance happening at the same time, because we've been so distracted from the moment that they announced this season.
Yeah.
You know, it did take a little bit of momentum away from the season. And so I feel like, you know, where you would have had all of this spotlight to yourself, you know, we're talking about you like a JT and this like a very like likable guy who wins the game. Like, I feel like that's been overshadowed to a degree. And I think as we get further away from this week of like, oh my God, this is crazy. Everybody, I think that's where it's going to start to, you know, sink in.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. Like I really and truly, I'm completely okay with the live finale. I'm completely okay with, you know, 31 coming up. I'm super stoked about it. I'm hoping that we get a crazy good season because I'm still a huge Survivor.
Are you going to have Shireen tell you?
No, what I told him. I told him that if they tell me with threaten of like cutting off our friendship, because like I'm a no spoiler guy like you are.
Yeah,
I don't want to know. I want to watch it. I want to see it develop. Now, do you want to talk about some experiences that happened in the game? You know, no boot order, nothing like that. Absolutely.
I think that they both caught a break with Max and Carolyn not getting on the season because I feel like if they came in with like a block of four, I think that would have been a bigger target on them.
Well, who did we get? We got Tosh and Spencer and Cass.
And I mean, Woo.
That's four there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot all about Woo.
That's why he's going to do really well.
Well, I mean, that's why he did really well the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to your point.
Maybe Woo could hook up with Joe. Like in terms of that could be, you know, he wanted to be with Cliff Robinson. Woo's not intimidated about being overshadowed.
That's true. Woo could just ride in that.
Woo,
ride.
Joe, a couple of these women. That could be a block.
Woo,
a very no collar 2.0.
Whatever happened to Michaela?
she didn't get on the season.
Well, I mean, that night, I figured she would have been out. I heard that she's like Russell Hance's like party girl, and I figured she would have been out like she was burning the town down.
She was there. I mean, she looked kind of upset. I saw her at the
felt really bad for all of them.
Yeah, the women seemed especially like Natalie was upset.
Natalie took it pretty hard. Natalie's such a sweet girl. Yeah. So is Stephanie, by the way. Yeah. They both came out. Such sweet girls.
And you and I, we saw Jim Rice, right?
Jim, he's a trip, man. For RHAP, I was kind of trying to help Jim get on the show with a little battle behind the scenes. But Jim and I were talking the whole time.
Okay, so you guys were cool with each other.
We're totally cool with each other. Yeah, I was just really trying to help Jim get on the show, honestly, because I really wanted to see Jim and Shane play. And I didn't get either one of my wishes, but that's okay. I did want to go back.
Did you vote? Were you voting?
I voted.
And were you voting for yourself?
I voted twice. And I did not vote for myself either time.
Okay.
So
you didn't want to waste the spot.
I mean, it was stupid. I really felt it wasn't stupid. I shouldn't say that. It would have been stupid for me to vote for myself feeling like I really, really won. Cause then it would have, you know, whatever. I did want to go back to your point though of feeling, you know, possibly overshadowed with all of this stuff. I'm really okay with it because like maybe I will get to just kind of like ride off into the sunset and people do forget about me, you know, because it that party that we went to, that's the most insane thing I've ever been to, Rob. Mm-hmm. You know, the after party after the finale was over and everything. You know, people are taking pictures and, you know, and they're Survivor fans and they want to come up and meet you and shake your hand and right. everything, which I love. I love that. But being a small town Texas kid, man, that's so overwhelming. But, you know, it was fun. You take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah. The money that you got, is there any plan that you have for what you're going to do with it?
Oh, yeah. Me and my best friend started a t-shirt company called Sweet Tea's Designs. Mm-hmm. And, it's like sweet tea that you would drink, but designs. And you know, the shirt that I wore at the finale is one of our designs. Joey Amazing artwork, actually. That's his artwork.
Yeah. America.
And we are putting them on shirts. We've got orders going crazy right now. The website's not up because Mike has been involved in some experience and he hasn't got it done.
You're talking in the third person.
Yes. Okay. I was talking. Yeah. 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 Mike being me. Yes.
Okay. I was confused. Is there another Mike? Is that your partner in the t-shirt company?
No, Jake and Tiana, two best friends from college.
Yeah.
And, genuine people. Also, the very first thing I'm going to do with my money is, I know, you know, I'm a believer. I'm going to pay my tithes, which is, you know, at minimum 10% to the church.
So you're going to give $100,000 to the church?
Probably a little bit more than that, but
wow.
Yes. Yep. But I mean, this is something.
You get a tax write-off? Is that tax?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there will be, but that's not why I do it. You know, I mean, I've been tithing ever since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
I haven't missed every check that I've ever gotten since 15 years old. You know, I've tithed. And the reason I do that is because it's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. You know, like you want to see if this works? Well, test me. He tells you not to test him anywhere else, but in the Bible, he says, test me with your money. And it's been,
what does that mean? Test me with your money. Like,
okay, I'll just give you the scripture real quick. It says, prove me now herewith and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. And what he's saying is like, prove me now herewith. He's saying, you know, bring this tithe to the storehouse, bring the tithe to church, bring the tithe to me
and watch what happens
and watch me blow up your spot. And I mean, since 15 years old, I mean, I'm not going to get into, you know, what I make a year and what I do, but I've seen a progression from age 15 all the way up until 38.
So God is basically saying,
just close your mouth, open your ears, and just watch what happens.
You know what? I bet God would say that to a lot of us, actually.
Wow.
I love that. I love that. And then, you know, my mom is really close to paying her house off.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, she's been wanting to retire for a while. I don't know that she is going to retire, but this would give her a little bit more of an option to. Yeah. So I'm going to pay off her house. And then, you know, I'm probably going to take a couple trips and let my partners work on the t-shirts and make us some
money. Where do you want
to go? Ooh, there's
domestic, international?
No, well, I mean, I'll be doing a lot of domestic travel over the next couple months with the charities and all that stuff. But no, I would love to go to Spain. I would love to go to the Asias and then Iceland, man.
Okay.
I want to check out Iceland.
Iceland.
Yeah, yeah. I hear during like the summer months, July, June, it's just beautiful.
World tour.
Hey, you know, hey, if Natalie, who just won 29, can go on her little world tour, maybe me and her will hook up and she'll come party with me.
Where'd she go?
Oh, man, she's been all over the country. And then she went, she's in Sri Lanka right now.
Yeah.
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 Visiting her family.
Okay. All right. Mike Holloway, great job here on the podcast. Thank you for being so generous with your time this week while you're still in LA. I know you're headed back soon, but I know probably a million people are trying to get a hold of you during this week that you're here. So I really appreciate you coming and being so generous with your time this weekend.
I'm going to be really, really bad right here. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm at You Can't Do That 121.
Oh, I was going to do
Twitter.
It for you. There you go.
Oh, oh.
And it's you like the letter U. Well, what's You Can't Do That?
Well, it's...
I know 121, that's a big number for you. Boy, number. What's You Can't Do
you
That?
You Can't Do That comes from, there was a hockey game the very first season 2 years ago, and this ref was calling a penalty on the Dallas Stars. And his mic was on, and one of the Dallas Stars skated by him and said something. And the ref goes, "You can't do that." And then he realizes that his mic was on, and he's like, "Oh, a penalty, Dallas Stars." Like, look up, "You can't do that."
Okay, so it's a Dallas Stars joke.
Dallas Star, yeah, it's kind of a Dallas Star. But
and you're a big Dallas Stars guy. Like, you go to the
I got
games
season tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big hockey fan, big huge hockey fan. And I mean, also, you know, I jokingly say, you know, it's you can't do that, but I can.
There you go.
So there you go.
All right, Mike.
Hey, thank you for taking the time.
Oh,
I don't know how long
was,
we've gone.
This is like we're closing in on 3.5 hours here.
Oh God.
So, but no, this is good. People are going to really enjoy this, I think. All right. What's a hashtag? What's the Mike Holloway hashtag?
What's the Mike Holloway hashtag? Oh,
You can't do that, but I can.
No, let's go a little more PC. Okay. How about I love you?
I love you.
Hashtag I love you.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, I really do love this community. I really do love this game, and I really do love people.
Love you, bae.
Love you, bae. But yeah, I wanted to say thank you to you, number one, for the advice throughout this whole process, the couple of conversations that we've had in this process. By the way, people, there was no, you know, crazy game talk going on. There was just, you know, certain questions that I had about the experience that Rob, you know, was able to help me through.
Look, I'm happy to help anybody that's going through this crazy process. That it's very overwhelming. And I feel like if anybody wants my advice on anything with this experience, I'm happy to give it. But you know,
you've been very gracious to me, so I just wanted to say thank you so
much. I really do think you're a very genuine guy and a very nice guy who's not really out like trying to fame whore this whole thing. And I think you come across as you know a really sweet guy, and it's very nice to talk to you and very nice to meet you through this whole process.
Yeah, me too. I feel the exact same way about you, brother.
Yeah.
Except for you are a little bit more of a media whore. I mean, hey, by the way, congratulations, dude.
Yes.
Are in big time order. I mean, you're a champion yourself.
Yes, I did.
I mean, in the podcasting community.
Yes, yes.
Slayed the infamous cereal.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's big, brother.
That was my Rodney. That was my Rodney. That was my...
You better relax, bro.
Cereal, you better relax, bro.
You better relax, bro. All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we're going to hear much more with you, whether it's the summer or into Survivor, Second Chance. And
Mr. Survivor, maybe?
You could be Mr. Survivor. This is going to be a very tough year for Mr. Survivor.
Dude, can I throw my name at least in the hat?
Oh, you're in the hat.
You're well in the hat.
Sweet. You're well in the hat. Everybody from your season and Survivor, Second Chance. But you're going to have to go toe-to-toe with Joey Amazing.
Oh, I'm done. He wins.
You're going to have to go toe-to-toe, tip-top toes with Rodney. You're going to have to go toe-to-toe with Stephen Fishback.
Fishy might be. You know what? I'm just going to say right now, I think I get third place in the Mr. Survivor voting
that,
pool.
Right?
Second place is going to go to Fishback, and Joe's going to win the popular vote.
Keith Nail.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Yeah.
Stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. All right.
Thanks for your time, Rob.
Thank you so much, Mike. We've got so much more coming up this week. You know, Survivor off season is just starting, but we're going to do a lot more Survivor along the way. And road to Big Brother. You watch Big Brother?
I do watch Big Brother.
Yeah.
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 Congratulations, by the way, to Derek.
Derek. Yes. Derek,
what a stud.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I was very impressed with his game.
Yeah. All right, well, Big
the
Brother.
The undercover cop. Cops always do good in these games. What's the deal with that?
Well, I think they don't always do good, but you have to be, you know, physically fit and, you know, be observant and stuff like that.
Man, tell you what, it's good stuff.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.